Hello and welcome to Infamous, the audio podcast. This is Brandon or Mutilus on Discord.
This is Parker, go by One Who Parks on Discord.
This is Jeremy, just Jeremy on the Discords.
And this is Aaron, I go by Truffinwood on Discord.
And welcome back to another riveting episode. Starting off today, Parker, down to 3,691 episodes of probation.
Jesus Christ. Away.
Yeah, I know. Man.
Is that a trillion?
Remember when we had a bet on if you were going to get to 2,000 before 1,000? Remember then?
Mm-hmm. I remember
that. That was a good bet.
It was a good time.
That's a good bet.
It was a loose, really just sowing your roots time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. So other quick announcements. Infamous Studios, my Etsy store, is pretty much in full swing at this point. We have increased the number of postings dramatically. I now have like 120 item listings. So if you guys want to go check it out, we've added cool stuff like Blood Bowl miniatures. So if you are interested in anything like that, go check it out. Then if you're a patron, you get a discount code. So if you join our Patreon, you get discounts to the store. Links in the show notes. And moving on, we've got no news.
No, we had no news. The news is the snooze. No news.
I expect we will be getting some news come Adepticon, which is coming right around the corner, but we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Where they will be revealing models that we can, I'm sure, buy in 2027?
Five. Let's not be crazy, Aaron. Just because, like, six of the models they showed last year still aren't out. It's only been 50 weeks. Give them a break. They can't do more than that. All right, moving into currently playing. I, Brandon, still not playing games. That's kind of what I do now. I am kind of excited to play games, though. It sounds cool.
Are you excited? Are you going to play games at Adepticon? Or are you just going
to watch on taking models. I think I'm supposed to play with Kenny in the team tournament. And we have not yet picked our list yet, so we'll probably talk about that tomorrow.
Is that the only thing you're going to play in? Just going to run judgment stuff.
That's the only thing official I'm going to play in. I'll have stuff for pickup games.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be running the cameras, so I'll probably be busy, too busy to play in like events and stuff other than that.
An inquiring mind wants to know, what are you excited to bring with you? Or do you have any idea?
I have zero plans at the moment.
Okay.
I'll probably come up with our team list tomorrow, and then I'll kind of figure out what I want to play outside of that. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, what you got? You playing games still?
I am playing so many games. Me and Aaron actually went to a tournament, which we could talk about now or later. But I am playing Defenders with a splash of my favorite model, Malekith. So that's what I'm playing. It's fun. It is fun.
We want to hear about this Malekith splash. Is that working out for you?
Actually, yes. So I've kind of like taken this new approach to gaming with this and also Judgment. I've kind of broken free of the what's a good model and has to go in every list kind of thing and moved more towards what do I enjoy about the game? Rethink this whole deal. So Defenders was playing fun, but it wasn't my style. So I threw Malekith in because he can use the Defender leadership really well. And also, I can switch on a dime, essentially, and play, like, a completely different list if I need to. And it plays more towards, like, what I like about the game. So, it's actually really good. I like it. I won some games.
Cool. Nice. Aaron?
So, at that same tournament, I continued my unaffiliated quest and brought unaffiliated jank minus the good stuff because I gave Perrin first dibs on our combined pool of models, so he took Cat, Rhino, and Toad. And so I basically took his list that he was playing, which was Red Skull 3 and a bunch of Killy models, and then dropped Red Skull 3 and ran it unaffiliated.
Nice.
And?
I did rather well. I won the event, and in doing so, achieved my goal of the Rogue Agent Longshanks badge.
Nice.
And it took about 2 months, and now I'm off for, I don't know, my next endeavor, TBD.
I mean, you're going to have all, was it 28 faction badges simultaneously, right?
No.
No.
No. Okay.
Is Rogue Agent number one in?
Yes, it's the highest rated unaffiliated player on Longshanks.
Okay.
And I'm done chasing Epine after that.
Mm-hmm. That seems like a free one, honestly. You should have to go for something harder, like, I don't know, Avengers or Hellfire Club.
Yeah, but I was happy to play some weird shit.
It's fair.
So what is next? What did you say?
I don't know. I said TBD.
He doesn't have one.
I have a bunch of...
He doesn't want to go for any more badges because he's like, this is lame.
Well, I might go for... Well, no, I might go for like the have played X many rated games badges.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. But I'm not going to chase leaderboard in anything. I actually wrote down what my bucket list is. See if I can remember it here. I want the Sentinel Initiate on Longshanks, which is 10 rated games played. I would like to one action kill a Hulk with a Nightcrawler for at least 15 damage. I would like to successfully pull off the Professionals.
Ooh.
And then I want to use Leapfrog and A Better Tomorrow at least 5 times. So those are my next 2 dues in Marvel.
A Better Tomorrow is possible. Like that's not impossible.
It's actually very scriptable. You can just like schedule playing it. It's just like, did you get value out of it?
Right. Yeah. So I have played it before, but it's mostly a meme. You know, you could do it with Dormammu, but I think I'm going to put it in Hellfire and plan like on a turn 2. I just want to like jam it no less than 5 times to kind of see, well, where is it on the meme scale? Is it a 1 or a 10? Anyway.
I think you should go for something actually hard to do, like Fearful Symmetry or
Ooh,
or Cloning Banks. You know, use Cloning Banks.
I have
Cloning Banks
before, and that's fucking horrible. Why? Because you're playing Mr. Sinister.
You should use Cloning Banks to summon a 2, 3, 4, and 5 cost character.
Hey, I'll tell you what my bucket list is. Not the other way around. Although High Council.
I'm just saying how you could, you know, actually shoot for the fences.
Did I say I was shooting for the fences?
I'm just saying you could.
Okay.
And I know what you do when things are available.
I appreciate that motivation.
I'm just saying, that's what I would do. But more importantly, we want to know what the listeners think. So if you have listened to the podcast while we're at Adepticon, please walk up to Aaron and tell him what cool thing in the game you would like him to accomplish for you as, you know, our adhering fans.
Tell you what, if you do so, I will shout you out once I have accomplished it.
There you go. See, he's willing to do anything and everything for you.
He's so ready for you, is what he's saying.
He's a Debbie.
Can't wait till one person's like concede the game at LVO Invitational and on the final table.
Didn't say I will do them all.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to let people down, that's on you.
Yeah, exactly. Let my wife down at least once a week.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we talked about that last week. All right. So moving on, Parker, you had some stuff you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. Speaking of currently playing, I have 2 lists right now that I've been playing a lot, and we talked about them on the cast, but one of them just got heavily retrofitted in our conversation with you, Brandon, late night after the game store game night. And I've also gone back to the drawing board with a roster that I played against you, Aaron, in the tournament, the Hydra roster. So right now I'm trying to decide what I want to bring to Adepticon for my standard play list. I have a Hydra list, and I have an Avengers list, and they are very, very similar. Kind of talking about what you mentioned, Jeremy, I want to play what I like to play. I like to play models that reroll dice. I like to play lots of opportunities to roll. I want dice to spin around in my dice tray. And so both of these lists do that. They have a lot of deep rerolls going on in different ways. Their footprint is kind of similar, but I think they accomplish different things. And so I want to know what your guys' trash scale is on them. You tell me. I don't know if I'm going to listen to your advice, but I'm curious to know what you think about which one I should rank. So, you ready?
Yes, go.
Sit back. Okay. So, the first one is the Avengers list, called Modern Art. Now, it's based upon the old martial arts style, but I've ripped it down and torn it up, and it's a brand new building. So it utilizes old Steve, original Steve, Cable, and Baron Zemo are its core, along with reserve members. So Zemo's getting a lot of rerolls, and people are just coming into it. Cable and Zemo pick up some extracts, and people come in to try to kill it, and it's just a really hard nut to crack. They need a lot of displacement to do it. It's technically possible, but it's not easy. Some key supporters, usually a super solo goes down with it, like Deadpool or Black Panther, and they're just kind of somebody to kind of range out and grab or disrupt objectives. And it's just got super efficient, deep dice rolls every turn. After I've been playing it so much, and it's so consistently using this package of Cap, Zemo, Cable, with Deadpool or Black Panther as like a kicker, Brandon and I sat down and we thought, what can we do if I get somebody who's never going to engage, who's not going to come into my meat grinder, my little triangle of death? What do I do if that happens? And so it, I can completely shed the Cable Zemo play and just play a ton of fetch characters, characters that get huge value out of minus one Steve for movement, and they run around and they just constantly are going to be putting dice on characters who are trying to flee. So characters like Quicksilver, Hawkeye, Agent Venom are added to the list. And so basically it's just playing characters that are going to go out and tag people regardless of where they are on the map to set up damage over the course of the game. It's really early damage, early tempo play, basically. So it switches from a hardcore, I'm going to fight you right here and you're going to have a hard time breaking my tough nut with my great rerolls. And then I switch it to a super fast tempo build that's all about getting out and attacking early. So that's basically the game plan with Modern Art, is this combination of fantastic dice reroll efficiency, or I can switch to this high tempo play. Now, Eurotrash has been modified a little bit because after playing it a lot of the tournament and modifying a bit the Hydra, I found out that Baron Helmet Zemo, the Hydra commander, you can get a huge amount of benefit from his leadership early. It's another like high tempo play, but really I think he actually is just a 1-point switch between regular Zemo and him. I think it's actually just you play versatile strategy and you have cheaper cards on first turn, or you're specifically trying to empower a mission objective on Lizard or something like that because you want to have a steal off the midline. And so unless you're basically just using him specifically to fill up a points value or to do some mission objective jank, otherwise you're just better off using Red Skull, Master of Hydra's leadership, and maybe Strucker's in a strange situation. What's that?
By mission objective, do you mean eyes?
I'm sorry. Eyes. Okay. Yes. Sorry. And so this one's core focus is primarily on Red Skull, Zola, Nebula, and then one of the two Zemos, Zemo to Taste. Generally, also, I think now, after playing it a bunch, OG Winter Soldier. So, this one is all about early game tempo, putting out a lot of really effective attacks really consistently. It's more of a super solo list. It doesn't brick up as hard, but generally speaking, Red Skull and Winter Soldier stick together. If it's forced to brick up, I think it can, because Zemo's going to give buffs, Zola's going to give buffs, bubble around them. Bucky's going to get better with Soldat activated next to Red Skull. And Nebula just swings way too hard when she's buffed with Zola's card, Scientific Method. And so basically this one is using basically the way it functions with the tactics cards is you use two restricted cards, and then two of the other cards are just there to buff your guys and make them much stronger at what they do. That's Soldat activated and Scientific Method. The third card is just kind of a literal wild card for anything else you want to accomplish, like a Eyes on the Prize Lizard or a Sleeper Agent Hulk or something like that, with whatever your last character might be if you're trying to fill in points. The problem with this list is it doesn't really have a switch. It doesn't go out and kill things. Nebula and Zemo are the only models that can go get things, and only Zemo has good action economy. If you choose to just run from this list, I think you will run from it. It's really high tempo if you just want to come and fight me. It does a really good job of doing that, but it does not have a lot of flexibility. If someone wants to run from me, I have to use Zemo and Nebula to go get things, because Zola cannot, Red Skull really cannot.
Yeah, we get that.
So I think in terms of the benefit of this Hydra list is kind of like what Aaron discovered, which is not a lot of people see this one coming. It's going to be a surprise. It's not going to be something that most people are going to have a lot of play into. So a lot of people are going to come at it going, oh, I'm playing against Hydra. And then they'll get very surprised by the tempo and efficiency of it, the aggression early. What do you guys think? What do you think would be your play between these two lists?
I would play Modern Art.
Yeah?
A, I think it's good. B, I prefer a toolbox kit that is trying to have options available. I like that as the coach of the team, right? The general, I like options at my fingertips, as opposed to an all-in strat that might be very good, but you just show up at the table and like, what am I trying to do? It's what I tried to do last game. It's what I try to do every game, right? Take over the world. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, I think I would prefer the first one. And I played against it at LVO. It is very good. You've obviously tweaked it, made it your own. So not the exact same list, but the concept. It's on my short list of things I think I would very much like to play.
Jeremy, do you have thoughts?
The second list, I heard you say a lot of things that it didn't do, which makes me believe that that's probably not the list you want. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, that's the only real comment I have. I mean, you've played them both. Whatever you like is what you need to do. The first list has been proven. I mean, we've all kind of seen you play it, and it seems like it's got some legs. The second list, you spent a lot of time kind of describing the things that it's not good at, which to me is a pretty big flaw.
So I think that there's a lot to be said for playing a off-speed pitch that people aren't expecting. So like the Dark Horse syndrome of nobody's seen your list work before. So they're constantly trying to figure out what you're doing as opposed to knowing what you're doing well in advance. And they're already planning what you're going to do later when you haven't even thought about it yet. So I think there's a lot to be said for that. But on the flip side, I think the second list is really just kind of exploiting early game play and then trying to push that into a long-term victory. And so if anything goes awry in that second list, you can get yourself into a spot where I think you don't have a lot of outs because it's not so great at long-term play. And I think the first list, while not having the best turn ones, it's got solid stuff, but it's not like exploitive turn one plays. It is very good at playing the long game. So as long as you don't get into like a really bad matchup, I think you can play against almost anything. And I think that's more valuable. Basically saying, if you think you're a good player or you think that you have a good strategy, taking what will give you the most choices is going to be better. Putting yourself in a like skew scenario type situation where you're trying to gain an early advantage, it works when it works, but if it doesn't work a lot, then you just end up losing a lot of games that you never really had a chance in. And so I think you should go with the first list because it'll give you the more opportunity to play out of bad situations.
I have a question because I haven't gotten to play a lot of modern era Web Warriors. The last time I played a bunch of Web Warriors, it was, you know, nearly a year ago. Mm-hmm. My thought was with the modern art list, with the Avengers list, is just doing more attacks early, constantly putting dice towards them. Is that a viable strategy or just as viable as any other strategy? Because that's what I used to do and it felt great into Web Warriors, but I do not know if that holds.
In my opinion, it's specifically high tempo is good against webs because you need to not only have the quality attacks, but you need to apply them early. Because the longer the webs get to do what they want, the bigger of a lead they're going to build. So you need to just stop them from building that lead as early as possible. And I think people like Cable, potentially Zemo, Agent Venom are all models that are good at doing that. And so I think it gives you a lot of tools. That said, I don't know that it's a good matchup. I just think you have some tools.
Okay. Aaron, you've played modern webs. Would you be nervous if you were just constantly taking attacks? Or does that not bother you?
Every time a Web Warrior takes an attack, you pucker up.
Okay.
Because maybe I block it all, and maybe you just one shot my 5 health character. So,
I mean, yeah. It's going to happen eventually, right? Yeah. Like the whole concept of webs is like if you don't kill them, they win. And so every single, it's time on target. You have to get as many opportunities on them as possible Because if you just have to wait for your Yahtzee to come up. And when your Yahtzee comes up, somebody dies.
Yep.
And that's just how you play against webs. You just need time on target. And the whole thing they're trying to do is to tar pit you and get away and cancel attacks, get in cover, run away, pass objectives around. Like, it's everything they're trying to do. So anything you can do that's the opposite of that is good. Yeah. Place, shoot long range, counter mods, all that stuff is good.
Yeah. I think this Avengers list... It is uniquely, after I got done building it, and I realized how much space I had to put all of these guys, like Quicksilver and Hawkeye and Ancient Venom, like all these guys that will constantly place, you know, three or move long and shoot three to like range three to five. I was like, wow, it is really hard to get away from these guys, which is normally not good enough to win into another attrition list, right? Because they're not swinging enough. But if I'm purposely just chasing things, it should work, is my hope.
I think you have the tools to chase, which is important. If you don't have tools to chase and they run, it's over, right? Like the math is there or it's not. So you having the tools to chase gives you an option, and it basically prevents them from running. Because if they run and you chase them, then it's worse for them.
Yeah.
I would go with the first list. Also, I think there's just generically stronger models in it. I think Cable and Steve 1 and Zemo 1 specifically. Mm-hmm. Hawkeye, Agent Venom are all like good characters. I know Hawkeye isn't well loved, but every time he sees the table, I see him just print money. Especially against people like Webs, where they don't want to actually go up and hit you. Like, they kind of want to run away and not fight, and so he just gets to do it. Yeah, I think the first list is stronger. I think they're comparable.
Yes, I think they are similar. They're both doing the thing I like to do, which is high tempo, lots of dice, rerolls, not counting on just raw dogging it. So I like both of them, but I think I like the Avengers one a lot right now too. I'm also excited to get it out into a wider meta where people are trying to beat me with things like Web Warriors. Right now, a lot of people around here are not playing that, and so I haven't got a chance to try very much, but I'll be excited.
It'll be interesting to see how Hellfire does against it, because I think you're better into webs than you are into Hellfire, but that's just a theory, so... Because I think Hellfire doesn't mind the grindiness as much, because that's kind of what they do. Mm-hmm. And so if they can grind on you while stealing, then that's bad. But, you know, you can't beat everything, so...
Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty, so moving into our main topic today. Aaron, you had an idea for the next thing you're going to play? Or is this just in general?
No. So we're going to create a tier list, and I'm going to play this tier list. Probably at...
I have a name for this topic, if you want.
Please, go ahead.
Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears, okay.
Yeah.
There should be tears for people with no fears. That's what
it
should be.
It should be... it's tears, like crying tears.
So, what we're going to do is it's going to be a bottom dwellers tier list. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to pick the best models in the game. We're going to pick the worst models, and I'm not going to pick any. You guys are. So here are the parameters for this team that I'm going to play. You're going to give me, in your opinion, the three worst two threats in the game, the five worst three threats, five worst four threats, three worst five threats, and one six and up. Then, after that's done, you're going to give me the worst three leaders in the game and four people in that affiliation, at least two threes and two fours.
Sorry, say that last part again.
At least two threes and two fours.
The whole leader part thing?
Yes, Sorry. So leader plus four.
Okay, leader plus four.
And there have to be at least two threes and two fours in that package of five. Then I'm going to pick one of those leaders and their cohort of models and whatever models I want from the bottom dwellers tier list. Mm. And I will make a list with whatever crises and tactics cards I want and see how well I can do with what you will collectively deem to be the shit of the game. And since we're doing it this way, I would encourage any listeners who just want to take random shit for a spin, see what list they would come up with. Because it's different, right? You're giving me a pile of models to choose from, and then I'll pick a list out of it.
Yeah.
So what I don't really want you to do is to think too much about, like, the list right now. Like, I'll think of that. Mm-hmm. All I want you to do...
You don't want it to be, we've weaponized bad models compounding their badness together.
Right. I just want...
Like, selected only models that can't contest.
Right.
And the...
Yeah. I just want your worst
models in the game in a vacuum.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what I want from you guys, is the worst models in a vacuum. And okay, I think that's beneficial. So you guys get to debate what those are.
So that, I think the best way to do this is just go down the list before we come up with the affiliated stuff.
Yep.
We'll just go with the bad tier list, like the F tier, and we'll fill that out now. So looking at the game, let's just start with twos. It's just the easiest.
How many twos do we need? Two?
Three.
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 He needs a handicap, so.
Three of the worst twos. Okay.
The three worst twos.
Well, which is really hard to do because each of them has like a definitive role. There's not like a wrong.
Yeah, two. No, and like there isn't a bad two. All the twos are very good.
Yeah.
So like what he's really doing with this is forcing the list as playable because he'll get 3 2-pointers to mix in with whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I see what he's doing. It's cool. I like it. Gotcha.
I'm going to shoot for. Can I shoot? Can I go?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to say Okoye is one of the worst twos.
Okay.
She's really worse than she used to be, and I don't see her perform.
Agreed. And especially in this, it will be bad, even though Aaron doesn't want us to talk about this. I'm going to do it anyway, because there's not going to be any good models for her to protect.
Yeah.
She's the good model in this list.
Yeah, I would say Okoye's on the top of this. In a vacuum.
I'm going to throw out Okoye's Honey Badger. Because non-contesting two is pretty fucking terrible.
She also cannot contribute really anything offensively. Yeah.
She's clearly worse than Nebula in that regard.
Yeah.
And
Honey
Jeremy,
Badger,
do you have a bad two?
I have the third on that list. I think the third would be Bob.
Mm.
I strongly disagree, just because I obviously the rocket is big, but I get where you're coming from. I thought about doing Bob because I know Aaron hates him.
That's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah. And I think Bob's better than giving him Nebula and or Wong. So yeah, because Wong's just going to give him options.
Wong's amazing. Yeah,
we're not giving.
I know he's amazing, but in a list where you're not buffing good models, like what happened? He's going to heal Crossbones. Like,
but
what are we doing here?
I think
like it's a totally different situation.
I think specifically Wong in a vacuum is amazing, right? He
exactly.
Is, like that, yeah. That's the thing about Wong.
No, I'm all for gerrymandering to mess this list up.
Okay, tell you what, I didn't realize there were so few twos. We're gonna delete Bob. I just need Okoye and Honey Badger.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So are we replacing that with another point total, or we're just reducing the volume?
We're reducing the
volume. Because you're getting like, what is it? It's like 38%
of
the
he
twos.
Hates Bob that much.
He wanted Bob gone. He
won't put him on a list.
Working this hard.
No, I didn't realize there were nine twos. That would have been 33%. So
yeah,
we really need to scum the bottom, not the bottom 33.
Honestly, it should just be one. It should just be Honey Badger on here, honestly. Aaron's already has like, no.
Okay. Now it gets spicy. I need the bottom 5 threes.
Okay. So, yeah, we're looking for worst 5 threes.
Can I go? I'm ready already.
Yeah, I'm now.
Dark Star.
Oh,
Dark Star is
I hate you so much.
Dark Star is the bottom 5 3.
Okay.
If you guys get to like 8, need to trim, that's okay too, right?
Do we give him Clea? Clea's pretty good.
Clea's...
Crossbones. Oh, sorry, it's Crossbones. We're going to put Crossbones on.
Crossbones 1, yeah.
Now, personally, I say that we leave Sin for the leader.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I'm going to add, with a bullet, Supergiant.
I disagree in a vacuum, because I think she has combos. But in a list, in something where we can prevent combos, yes. My go-to is going to be Clea. I don't know if we're going to find a worse one than Clea.
Yeah.
I think Clea is useful, but I think she's actually kind of useful. So I'm going to keep going through this list just to make sure I don't see anyone worse.
Viper.
I know he loves Viper, though.
Viper is...
Although it will... I'm going to say Viper for the affiliated section to put her with Sin.
Okay. All right, remember, this isn't just for me. Our listeners are going to make a
list,
too.
I don't know what you're talking about, Aaron. Let us do our thing.
Not without spears, you don't.
Quit kibitzing.
Can we do... Is Wasp...
You said you were going to stay out of this.
Is Wasp on the list? I don't know. She actually does do something.
He loves Wasp, too. He loves long-moving three-pointers. That's just what he does.
Yeah, Wasp is not the worst, probably.
My favorite, though, if we wanted to actually gerrymander this and really screw him, just pick every model with shit attacks. Like Lockjaw, Clea, like Supergiant, just models that can't deal damage. Just leave them with no stealers and no damage. Just make them fight out of the hole.
I think War Machine might be on that list. Maybe
War Machine does damage. What are you talking about? He's got an amazing
Arnim Zola.
Speed. No, because he gives rerolls. Like, he's actually useful.
I'm not gonna lie. Arnim Zola feels terrible. One of the reasons why I don't like the Hydralisk I'm talking about is that he feels like a waste.
But the reason he feels like a waste is because he's just worse than Shuri, who's busted. And so if you play him in a vacuum, without Shuri available, he's actually good.
That's my opinion. Disagree. Yeah. I still disagree. He hurts himself. He's dumb. All right, how many do we have? Okay. What do we need here?
Currently, we've got 4. We need one more 3. I'm getting to the end of the list now. Do we give him new Winter Soldier? Is he that bad? I don't think he's that bad.
He's the 4.
No, updated Winter Soldier.
Oh, you mean
Winter Soldier 2. Yeah, you go by numbers for versions. So Winter Soldier 1, but the new one.
I think he's possibly...
4 dice, range 5, that good.
He does have the ability to bounce around the list by spending 2. I think that's his best ability now.
I think we count Bucky as affiliated, and so we use that as one of the affiliated models.
I will grant you that.
Well, I think he's just actually affiliated with what? Oh, no, he's only S.H.I.E.L.D. Garbage. Worthless model. Okay, so what? You said Zola?
Yeah.
He might be, like, the next.
I think I'm going to say Viper. I agree with the Viper from earlier. I think Viper's the worst one left. And she's probably worse than Clea, honestly.
I would almost do... Is Gambit worse than that?
No, because Gambit has upside.
No.
Parting shot and potential spiking. No.
Okay.
That's too many weapons.
Gambit is not flashy, but he is not bad. I don't see people play him, but he's not bad.
I guess Wasp would not be the worst.
The problem with Wasp is she has to have an energy of activation, literally. Like, she has to start the turn with, like, 5 energy, but if she does, she'll do great. But
so you think Wasp?
If you give it,
she's worse than Gambit.
I wouldn't mind seeing somebody play Wasp. Like, honestly, like I don't think she's very.
Okay. Well, we'll do Wasp. We'll do Wasp. I know Aaron likes her. I want to give him a layup.
I played her in LVO and she didn't do nothing.
Aaron's actually looking excited for the first time.
No, I'm looking. I'm excited because you guys are gonna publish this as your worst 5-3 threats in the game.
Hold on.
I want to see.
No.
Did Wasp have
something in mind.
Is Viper on the list before? Or
Viper not? Is not on the list, but I want to say Viper's going to be there the instead of
Wasp. Wasp is better than Viper.
Can you listen for a second? I just want to say that I'm saving her for the affiliated section because we need to come up with five affiliated models.
It's supposed to be separate.
Yeah, I know.
Stop kibitzing.
Aaron, you tell me how much you like Viper. It's not fair that I give you a good model.
Okay.
I will say this. Wasp in a vacuum is not good. She needs like a certain amount of power to go off.
Yeah.
So I'll go ahead
Viper
and say
has a turn one jank objective thing, right?
Yeah, there are lots of ways to do a turn one nonsense with her. Yeah.
What is it? I can't remember. There was a way she can do a turn one steal that I was talking about for
Viper?
A while. Is it just with Zemo?
Yes.
Okay, just
she
with
can
Zemo.
Play eyes with Zemo, that's it.
There you go. See, very good.
Sure.
Aaron, you said she was good. Okay, so we're putting Wasp in. So our 2s were Honey Badger and Okoye. 3s, we have Darkstar, Crossbones, Supergiant, Clea, and Wasp. You guys good with that? You want to change anything?
I think in a vacuum, those probably feel...
Ship it.
Yeah.
3s in the game. Okay.
Ship it.
Trying to look. There's a lot of, like, maybes in here.
Are we now on 4s?
Yeah, let's move on to 4s. Okay.
I feel like we're going to come to fists with this one.
Zemo 2?
No, he's not. Bad. He's good. Captain America First Avenger. Please,
and
put him on
there.
Any Cap vacuum, 2? He is not good.
You guys think Cap 2 is that bad?
Oh, I'm sorry. Which one is the one? Which one is the shitty S.H.I.E.L.D. one?
The S.H.I.E.L.D. one.
Cap, yeah. You're talking about the S.H.I.E.L.D. one. Yeah, Cap 2. Parker, it's just Cap. Oh, you're looking for him on here? It's Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Steve Rogers. That's not First Avenger, because First Avenger is the new leader.
Parker, again, go by numbers, so that way it's not confusing to anybody, especially people at home. So it's Steve 2, the second Steve released.
Steve Rogers, Captain America, Steve 2. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Electro.
Electro.
Yeah, that poor girl.
Okay.
He already said how much he enjoys Mr. Sinister.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Sinister's poor guy. Some of these make me so sad.
I know, right? They're all like cool characters except
three,
for Electro.
Three deserves. Three don't deserve. No, nobody in the threes does. You know, threes deserve to be bad, but fours don't. Some of them are not good.
It's too bad they just buffed Hela.
A single Mark IV Sentinel.
One Mark IV Sentinel, hell yeah.
One Mark IV Sentinel coming in hot.
Okay, let's see. Man, they just buffed all the fours.
In a vacuum. Is Captain Marvel good in a vacuum? Maybe still good enough?
I don't think so, probably, but I think not. She's probably better. Like, they just buffed her. I'm still reading the list of fours.
Okay.
OG Red Skull?
Ooh.
If he's already got Clea, why would he want Red Skull?
No.
And Squirrel Girl. You're not making his list for him. You can choose not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Squirrel Girl is not. I've never seen her on the table.
I think she's not bad, though.
She's not terrible. She's just kind of boring. There's really not that many just awful fours. I mean, we give him his boy Ursa.
It says here we can give him a second Mark II Sentinel.
Second Mark II Sentinel. It's legal, Aaron.
It says right here.
I'm putting a second Sentinel in
here. The sign said, pick again.
I don't know.
We'll take a worst vote.
All right.
Worst hands five up models.
For legal for double Sentinels.
No. Worst five models at the threat level.
It's two separate models, Aaron.
Okay, so what do we have so far? Read me back the list so far.
Elektra, Steve 2, Sinister, and Sentinel 4.
Could it be Omega Red? Omega Red in a vacuum is probably bad, right? He could combo, but he doesn't have it. We're not playing the combos right now.
What about Loki, no stone?
Well, I don't know if we can say no stone. I think we just...
Yeah, I'll decide how to equip him.
I think Omega Red in a vacuum is probably bad, right? You need something to do with him.
It's definitely not great.
I think it's probably Omega Red.
Doc Ock, Sinister Scientist, not in affiliation.
No, I mean... Oh, yeah, because he can't use whatever leadership we're picking.
This is a true statement.
Is he that bad? I haven't really looked at him that much.
I think he is. When you look at his attack suite, when you look at what he does, I don't think
he doesn't get
for
power.
4 points, is he worth it? Probably not. And he couldn't play his tactics card because it's faction only.
I mean, maybe you'll give me Green Goblin as a leader. I don't know.
Someone might, but none of us will.
Hold on. Who are you talking about? Are you talking about Omega Red or Doc Ock? Because I think Omega Red is
I was talking about Doc Ock right there, but I know you said the other guy.
I think Omega Red just worked in Doc Ock, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I know Omega Red's not a great model, but I mean, people really underestimate that guy. He's got damage reduction, healing, a pull.
All cool when you're playing good. Him with certain things, but I don't think you...
Yeah.
I don't want to get poisoned. He does auto damage. Jeremy's
thinking about what he has to play against.
Dude, that guy is DR. You know how I feel about DR. Fuck out of here.
Are we saying that you can take stones?
Yeah.
Because that changes their point value, though. We're just as a four-pointer.
He's saying the four-point bracket.
Yeah.
Then we should just give him all the four-pointers that you have to give stones to be good. And then he won't have any four-pointers.
No, why are you trying to game this? Just pick bad four-pointers. Omega Red, please.
I almost feel like original Ultron is worse than Omega Red is the only reason I'm still thinking. He does have a really good throw, though.
Yeah, the problem is he has throw. Omega Red does not throw.
Okay, fine. Omega Red.
Okay.
All right, five pointers.
When he owned you with Omega Red, you're fucking... You're gonna
eat No, dude, I'm the guy saying Omega Red is good.
Well, who's below him then? Give me the five worst fours.
I think Ultron is better.
Sentinel Mark IV, number two.
number two.
Red one. I actually think new Zemo or new Doc might actually be worse.
That's okay. But we can move close to fives. We're fine.
It's all comparable, yeah.
Yeah.
Jean Grey?
Yeah, without any. Yeah.
Claw
in there.
Or
I do not think Claw is a bad five pointer. I think he has a terrible leadership.
I think we should definitely give him for leadership. So let's not put Claw on the five pointers. How many five pointers are we picking?
Three.
Three.
So who is number one?
Shadow King.
Yeah, Shadow King's number one.
He loves Shadow King.
Oh, there are not that many fives.
I don't own Shadow King. Pick another one.
Oh, that sounds like a you problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about
Shadow King? Sandra but you're Nova? Making a list, right? Just proxy or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're talking about that. Just borrow them. Somebody's got them.
You said we have to pick the bottom models, right? Shadow King's definitely on the list.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. You can include.
Conveniently, next week he sells all of his models to Jason except for the 10 he likes.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, look, I built my list. So do we give him Cassandra? I think Cassandra's good. Oh, we should make him play Strange One because he hates him. And that will easily be the best of the three.
Why you guys... No, don't game this to his personality.
I'm trying to pick gaming this.
I know you want to real bad.
Oh, I love it. Wow, there really aren't that many fives.
I think you got to throw Thor in there, as he won't be affiliated, and he'll be with a shitty fucking leadership.
Oh, man, I don't know. He's still kind
of
scary.
As opposed to the rest of these? So
Cassandra, I think Angela's worse. Angela is way worse than Thor for 5 points.
Okay. Really? You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how is she not?
Yeah,
she
Thor's new AoE is pretty dumb.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know about his AoE, but his throw and his, like, all that stuff is crazy. Like, okay, he's actually scary.
So number one,
Angela is just an overpriced 4-pointer that has one thing she does, which is safe extract.
But that's the problem, right? She is considered one of the best models in the game because she has the safe extract and size 4 throw.
Angela's not considered one of the best models in the game.
She's one of the most important models. I'll say not best. Important models in the game because of what she can do. I would not.
I haven't seen Angela on a table in months.
She should be. She should be.
I strongly disagree with that. But I know that some people think that she's important. Like, it's not even a question, because if we're asking which model you want as a safe extractor, it's Peter. And not to mention, like, other people, too. He gets to pick the tactics card. It's not like we're giving him Bill. But, like, if he's going to spend 5 points on a safe extractor, fine. Like I still think she is bad. The best thing she does is you can't reroll against her. Like, that's the best thing she does.
I think she's better than that. I think I understand
that some people like her, but nobody plays her for her own merits. The only reason she ever sees lists is because she's a safe extractor, and she doesn't even get played for that anymore.
You're talking Shadow specifically King, to somebody who played Scarlet Witch, A-Force with Cassandra her,
Nova. I know you did. I know that you like her, but you also like her from the comic books and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not picking her solely on her merits, I think.
Yeah,
you're doing it based on your impression of her.
Yeah. So what was our list so far? I just want to check it.
The fives are currently Jean Grey and Shadow King. I'm voting Angela.
Who do we have any more we need, or is that...
That would be the last five.
So you're thinking Angela is worse than Cassandra Nova?
And Scarlet Witch?
100% worse. The only other person I really see on here, I mean, Cassandra Nova is worth mentioning.
Scarlet Witch, who says, was that you, Jeremy? Scarlet Witch?
Scarlet Witch is okay. She does so much damage, though. Like, and we already gave him Clea, so, like, that's a combo. Like,
yeah, we don't want to.
Scarlet Witch around.
not the overwhelming combo of Clea Witch.
Yeah, I'm glad you heard it. Two models that throw for 8 points? What are we even talking about here? That's OP.
Okay,
let's move on. So yeah, I think the only other one I would say is new Captain America 2. Sorry, Captain Marvel 2. Without a good leadership would be very questionable.
Yeah, that could be really bad.
You don't got any way to juice her?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I still am voting for Angela.
I would vote for new Captain Marvel over Angela in a vacuum. In a vacuum, I think she doesn't do anything.
Jeremy, thoughts? Do you have a new model you'd like to submit?
Specifically in a vacuum, I think Angela does something, actually.
So, is Cassandra Nova in this list?
Not currently.
I pick Cassandra Nova. I think Nova she's actually very Angela. Good.
Okay, then I'll go with Cassandra Nova, too.
Well, then I'm going to change to Captain Marvel, too.
Just pick what you
want. All right, Brandon. if you want me to put her in here, I think Cassandra Nova is very good.
So far, we got the makings of a Sentinel list, just so you guys know.
We could have gave him two fucking Mark IVs, but he didn't want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want the record to show that he really gerrymandered this. All right, so now, personally, for the six or above, I would like to put forth Dormammu, since he's not allowed to use the model's leadership, basically invalidates his 6 points.
That isn't right.
That's a weird...
Aaron's like, I'm never letting you be on the other side of this again.
This is a weird bylaw kind of thing. How many 6-plusers do we supposed to do?
One.
Just one. One big guy. So honorable mentions, we've got Dormammu, Malekith, Immortal Hulk, CGR. Oh, we give him CGR. See if he's playable.
Yeah, CGR would be a good one to hand him, just because it can't score.
Can't score, inconsistent, nobody thinks he's playable. We'll see if he's playable. Aaron will play him.
I mean, Dormammu would be the shitty answer, right? The one you do.
No, I think Dormammu would be perfect because it changes the whole dynamic of what his list would be.
Dormammu is the worst model above 6 points, though, right? So that is the
for
right answer.
For personal value, yes, but again, it's a whole other leader in the list.
He's weird, because specifically the point of this portion.
Then you have to worry about him buffing the rest of the team.
We're not giving him a Yahtzee.
Let's call it a 6 or 7 point model.
Okay.
Okay, so then give him Thanos. Because he can't play two stones.
He can
do something. Obviously, it'd still be worth it.
No.
So CGR, does anybody have a vote other than CGR? I think we're in pretty much agreement. The only other option would be like She-Hulk or Malekith. Or like the only two that are even close.
Nope.
Yeah, CGR it is. Mm-hmm. All right, Aaron, we've assembled our list.
Okay, so I just want to go over them and then confirm you're locking them in before we move on to part two.
Because he knows there's something good in here.
The worst twos in the game are Okoye and Honey Badger.
I don't think that's actually even questionable.
Okay. Locked in?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. The worst threes in the game, Darkstar, Crossbones 1, Supergiant, Clea, and Wasp.
I would personally swap Clea out of here, but in a vacuum, I think she is bad. Because there's other models that do what she does, like Lockjaw, that are better.
Okay, are we locked in here?
Yeah, I think in a vacuum, that's what this is. I don't... A big one. A big asterisk, you know, in a vacuum, but yes.
Okay. I really think you guys missed the boat on one of them. I'm not sure if I should give you my input. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until
we do
everything
else. I know
you
like Wasp. I know you like Wasp.
Okay, the four threats. We have Cap 2, Elektra, Sinister, Mark 4 Sentinel, and Omega Red.
I think there's actually a strong argument that three of these models are actually playable. But I think anyone who plays Elektra has, I don't know, severe mental problems. But I don't think she's actually completely unplayable. I just think she's terrible.
Locking it in?
It's really just, can you abuse the grunt mechanic? And this model has a yes in the checkbox. Like, that's the only reason she sees the table.
Lock it.
Locked. Okay, if you guys had, I don't know why you think Doc Ock is one of the worst four threats in the game, I would have played Doc Ock every fucking game and laughed.
I haven't played, I haven't seen him on the table yet, so I don't know. But
I was fucking, just keeping
his dude rocks. He is like top 50% of four threats by himself in a vacuum. Holy shit. You guys dodged a bullet on that one. Okay, five threats. Jean Grey, Shadow King, and Cassandra Nova.
Cassandra Nova is clearly playable and good, but there's really just not that many bad fives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think Captain Marvel 2 in a vacuum might be worse. It's just that, like, you have to be careful not to combine it with a good leadership.
Yeah, Captain Marvel, I feel like she doesn't actually activate till much later unless you just get super lucky dice. Mm-hmm. And so,
if we were good,
spending five points on a brawly model that you have to just entirely hope that it ever actually does something feels terrible. So I don't know if in a vacuum was she on our list or was it Cassandra Nova?
She was on the short list.
Nova's on the actual list for now, unless you swap her out.
Okay, I'm going to go on the record and say that I know nobody supported me on the Switch, but I think Cassandra Nova should become Captain Marvel as the worst.
I think Angela and Marvel 2 are both worse than Cassandra Nova.
Okay.
So I think taking either
Marvel
of them
2 is fine. Switch.
Okay. Nova is out. Marvel 2 is in. I cannot believe you guys debated putting Thor as one of the worst five threats in the game.
I immediately pushed back. I'm like, what are you talking about?
And lastly, six plus.
Jeremy,
threat.
I think of all people, you would respect what Thor can do out of faction.
True.
Okay, 6+ threat, you said CGR. Locked in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Part
still
two.
Good.
I need the three worst leaders in the game.
So what I thought we could do for this one is, because there's three of us, is each of us builds a list of five affiliated models in different factions.
Okay.
And then offers them up, and then Aaron will choose between the three.
Not on air. I'm going to take some time. I'm going to workshop this shit.
Oh, no. It has to be today.
No, it's not.
It has to be before we stop the podcast.
No. I'm going to bat with him. No, absolutely not.
He's
going to
use ChatGPT to build his roster. Guys, I made a decision.
Okay. So, who would like to go first with their horrible affiliation?
I want to go first.
Okay, Brandon, go.
All right. So I'm going to start off with Sin.
Okay.
As my Cabal leader.
Clearly, yes.
Hold on. This is being a little annoying. Here we go. Perfect. All right. So throwing in here, I'm going to give you Viper.
I like this list already.
Mm-hmm. I know you do. We will go with... my freaking website keeps crashing on me. Sorry, one second.
Well, there are only 34 affiliated models, so you have quite a few to choose from.
There are a few. I'll go ahead and go with Zola.
Okay. I need at least 2 4s.
Yeah, let's see. How you...
And we're purposely not picking models we've already chosen, right? Those are out of
the... Correct.
They cannot be... Yes. Okay. They have to be new models, yes. I'm like, oh, instantly choose 4 models we already took. All right, you said these are points restricted? We already did the point restricted ones.
I need them points restricted in affiliation, because if you just give me 5 5s, I can't fucking play that affiliation, so... At least
which I said this in the beginning. Five fives in it?
The one you're doing right now has 6, actually.
False.
Yeah, false. So I need 2 3s and 2 4s in the list of 5 people that you give me.
All right. So 2 4s. So we'll do Zemo 2.
Okay. And I may not use Zemo 2's leadership.
So you took my Omega Red. And I'll do Red Skull 1.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not choosing that pile of shit. Not happening.
Okay. Who would like to go next?
I can go next. So 2 3s and 2 4s. Is that right?
And then any leader.
Arnhem's Baron Strucker.
You can choose people I chose. They just have to be. You just have to choose a different leader, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Baron Strucker's the leader.
Okay.
Strucker's so good.
Who did you choose? You chose some, right?
I chose Sin, but you... Wait. Can take whoever you want now. You didn't choose the same leader.
You guys are both... You guys are both giving him his favorite thing. Never mind. Okay.
3-point leader. Yeah.
3-point leaders.
Well, yeah. You should just pick...
I think he likes 3-point leaders not named Sin, to be specific.
The worst leaders in the game in a vacuum. Yeah. I cannot argue with Sin.
Yeah, he's not excited.
Helmet Zemo, he's a 4.
Yep.
It's got the same 3 models and a different leader. This is going to be great.
And a 4.
This is why I wanted to say Viper.
The new Winter Soldier.
Bucky 2.
Bucky 2.
I think he's actually okay.
They are okay, but we have to give him so many goddamn models.
That's true. The problem is Hydra just doesn't have a lot of affiliated models.
Taskmaster for sure. Is a 3.
Okay. So I have Strucker, Taskmaster, Zola, Zemo 2, and Bucky 2.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Okay. Parker.
He's probably choosing that.
All right. Now, this is the... I think this is hard because the leader is so clear, but all the other characters are not. So here we go.
I have one quick question before he goes.
Go.
If I choose Convocation, do I get to pick your leader?
No.
All right.
I mean, I would pick the card and you give me 5 combo members. That would be fine.
No, but no. I get to pick the leader and then you have to play and then the 4 affiliated, but you have to... That's the leader.
No.
That seems fine. Either that or the convocation card is the leader. You gotta pick one. Anyway, Parker, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with Claw. But there are not very many bad criminals. So this is...
Yeah, that's why I didn't go Claw. I actually think Claw is good.
I think Claw is bad. And he is a 5-point leader with a terrible leadership.
So his leadership is definitely fucking terrible.
Yeah. So but I'm going to go with, and some of the models we've already chosen out of here, so like Omega Red and Electra are already gone, so we're left with better criminals. But I'm going to go with, and this is going to break my heart, because none of these models I'm about to say are bad. But I'm going to go
Please say Black Cat. Please say Black Cat. Please say Black Cat.
That's not happening. Okay, I'm going to go with...
He's just going to give you like Rhino and some other people.
No, I'm going to go with Taskmaster.
Okay.
Mysterio.
So I'm just pointing out that saves the rogue agent. So you can still use the rogue agent.
Yeah, Taskmaster. Mm-hmm. Mysterio. Gwynpool. And... I want to say one of the Killmongers.
You should buy it. You should do the new Killmonger just to make him buy the box. There's really no bad 4-pointers in criminals.
No. Well, there are. We just took them all already.
I'm 4 points.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Green Goblin. I'm gonna go with Green Goblin. I think Green Goblin in criminals doesn't feel great.
You just gave him 3 giant trap characters.
Okay. So I'm either playing Sin, Cabal, Strucker Hydra, or Claw Criminals.
Wait, I thought it was Zemo Hydra. Oh, no, it was Strucker Hydra. That's right.
Yeah. Of the 16, the 16 wide pool of characters you gave me, 7 of them are short movers.
Awesome. Good yes. job, guys.
I agree with a significant number of your choices for worst in the game. Strong disagree with Elektra. Holy shit, you guys are idiots.
I know you like Elektra.
Marvel 2 is also not good.
It's just that grunts are busted.
You're wrong.
Yeah, I think Marvel 2 is good.
Yes, so immediately trying to figure out the not the loopholes, but where you missed. Those are the two biggest ones. If I have any listeners want to make their own lists, please do so. Once again, it's either Sin Cabal with Viper, Zola, Zemo 2, or Red Skull 1. Strucker Hydra with Taskmaster, Zola, Zemo 2, and Bucky 2. Or Claw with Taskmaster, Mysterio, Gwenpool, and Green Goblin.
I love that he says that we chose wrong, yet has never put these models in a list, unironically. It's a very strong position to have.
So I am really looking forward.
You guys
are
fucking idiots. Oh, wait, yeah, I never played these models.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait to probably get my ass handed to me with this list over the
next month. Well, that's just because Parker gave you like a legit playable list compared to what I gave you.
Oh, you know what? I might actually just make a list with each one of them. There you go. We'll see how the three lists go. Yeah.
We should take it to timelines. You're terrible. And nobody will call you on the fact that these aren't actually legal models. Nobody will care. It's like, wait, you got Sid? Yeah, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Actually, wait, is this timeline legal?
Some of them are, some of them aren't, I'm sure.
Cosmic is not.
How many aren't?
CGR Cosmic is not. Yeah.
Yeah. Marvel 2 is probably not.
I think she is. Yeah,
Marvel 2 is.
She is?
Wow. I didn't think the space people were in there.
Cap, dude, there might only be like
Cap 2.
Shield Cap's not in?
No. Super Giant's not in. Crossbones 1 is probably not in.
I bet you we could go through here, make like 3 or 4 changes, and then have him play it in Timelines.
Newsflash, I'm not playing Timelines in Adepticon.
But you could, though.
Sure. But I'm not.
Just drop from everything. I'm sure there's still space.
There's nothing but space.
Literally everything is in space.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm excited to see what some other people come up with to run out of that pile of garbage that should never win a game of MCP.
Oh, yeah. If you're interested at all, please send your information, your list, that your rosters that you build from this selection. I'll post it in the show notes. Send your roster that you want Aaron to play to us. You can send it to us on Gmail or on Facebook or on Discord. And I'll make sure Aaron gets that. It's going to be great. So, Aaron, did this go about as expected? Did you get a better list than you were expecting?
I had no expectations.
I imagine you took some time. You didn't at all go down and build what you would think would be the worst?
Oh, God, no. I just had the idea driving
back. Why
would
a person do that?
Okay, so what would you swap? All right, so this is a thought exercise. Okay. You said that you disagreed with Elektra. You disagreed with Marvel 2. And other than that, of the original 16... What would you swap them with?
I think Okoye.
It's easy to say a model's correct. Better than you're saying it is, but pick somebody to replace it with.
Oh shit! You're gonna make me do this. Hold on. 3 threats.
No, just go off the cuff. Just name somebody. You want to put ancient one in there?
No, God no. Viper exactly. is probably worse than Wasp.
Agreed. At the but I really wanted level. To save her for my Cabal picks, because I want to give you like fucking Zemo.
Uh huh. I actually think War Machine's bad.
I think he's bad too, but I don't think he's like awful. Like he does things. He's just like he's a stat brick. He's like Lizard. You just put him on the table. He like doesn't die easy.
No,
and does damage.
I hard agree with your first four. So the fifth one's really like Darkstar, Crossbones, One Supergiant, and Clea. Yeah. Yeah.
So like
you might make
Wasp.
A case for Iceman. Like I've never put him on the table.
I don't know about that. Yeah. Well, I don't think Iceman's good, but he's got tools. His, like, infinite cold snap thing is actually legit.
Yeah, so I think I just would have gone Viper for Wasp, and that probably would have been the that one. On the fours, let's see here. Cap 2, I agree with. Sinister is an absolute agree. I cannot disagree with Omega Red.
Yeah, the only real question here is Electra bad enough to overcome the fact that she has a broken mechanic?
I think Zemo 2 would have been a better pick.
Yeah, but I know Parker loves him, and he was pushing against it.
Maybe
he looks sweet.
Maybe Cyclops out of affiliation. Carnage.
Ooh, I strong disagree with that. Dude, he's got a range 4 attack or beam 5, and he's got fucking rapid shot on his goddamn beam. Or not his beam, but his blaster. No. Cyclops is legit 4.
No. You guys missed the boat hard here. It's Professor X.
He wasn't in my list. Consider him. Yeah. I didn't see him. I was looking for him. And I
Squirrel Girl is actually not a bad call out. So I probably would have dropped Elektra. Probably Elektra for Professor X would have probably been the only actual change I would have made. I actually don't think the Mark IV Sentinel is pretty bad.
Without all the Sentinel buffs, he's pretty bad.
But I still like think one even, of them is not horrible.
I like how even in the artwork for Professor X's card, his torso clearly just goes through the blanket. They didn't even bother drawing it right.
I think you nailed Shadow King.
Yeah. Well, that was the one I felt the best about. I think Jean's even better than Shadow King. It would have been cool to give you 3 Psykers, though. So Cassandra Nova would have been interesting, because all 3 of your 5s are like the same fucking model. It seems like, well, it doesn't even matter who I take.
Strange 1.
He would have been easily the best model on the entire 16.
Yeah, you guys are fucked, but whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have done it just to make you admit it by putting it in your squad. You'd be like, yeah, he's the best model I have.
I mean, I don't think Jean is necessarily a bad model.
She's just badly designed because her kit is too expensive and clunky. And she's in that weird like tweener spot where she's like a 5-pointer, but she doesn't feel like a 5-pointer.
Have you played her since her errata?
No.
Okay.
I mean, now you have the chance to.
Hoorah. Yeah. And then for the 6s, I probably would have gone with like Magneto, maybe.
Really?
Out of affiliation?
You can still play Magnetic.
In a vacuum, just reroll, reroll, throw is good enough. Like, it's better.
If you just get a good table on a good mission, he can win you the game.
Yeah.
I also don't love She-Hulk or really even Hulkbuster
mm-hmm.
without supporting casts that are designed to help them. Like,
same with CGR, though. Like, if you don't have a list designed to take advantage of CGR, he's not good.
I don't know. Like, I will consider putting him in one of these lists. CGR does not need to be babysat. He can go on a flank and he can just like, you know, go murder shit. Or at least try. Whereas like a Hulkbuster or a She-Hulk, like kind of needs to be babysat with a bodyguard sacrifice. Why? Because shit that just absolutely annihilates them exists.
Well, that's the same true of CGR. If they're gonna Helio CGR, he's gonna get dazed.
Yeah, but he has the comeback mechanic, whereas She-Hulk and Hulkbuster, for the most part, just die. That's why CGR has a flip side, which makes
I think makes if you're committing better. A 6-point model to win a flank versus like actually contribute to the game, it really doesn't matter if they get Helios or not. Like, they're just going to Helios somebody who actually matters.
Again, I don't necessarily think CGR is wrong, but I think I think there's more debate than you guys gave it.
I don't think he's unplayable. I think he's the worst 6-pointer.
In a team where I'm not sure what the way to win is, like you haven't figured it out yet, having a model on your team that simply doesn't score most of the game when it's doing its best work is a problem. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Like even before, like CGR without like you building for him to be good wasn't game overpowering. And like Hulk can be. Just an incredible model on his own. Like, same with, like, all the 7s. Malekith would have been better than CGR, in my opinion. Like, Malekith still contributes. He's just squishy now.
Yep. Now, for the leaderships, Sin is smack on. Strucker, I think I disagree with, as one of the bottom 3 leaderships in the game.
Yeah, I think Strucker is the best leadership you got by far, but I think he's also probably the better model that you got, but the question is the rest of the list going to be able to do anything?
Yeah, since the 4 models he gave me don't exactly like throw conditions out.
Help at all.
I think Zemo 2 probably does. Bucky's got bleed, but it's not great.
Oh crap, we gave you Cosmic Ghost Rider. Everything's incinerated. He just keeps healing.
I actually played Cosmic Ghost Rider in Hydra. It's not as good as you think. You keep fucking killing everyone before you get to transfer the effect, so it doesn't matter. Because it's like, oh, I damaged you. Well, he's already dazed, so I don't get to transfer the effect, and therefore I'm still bleeding. Sorry, not bleeding, but I'm still like stunned or whatever, and also don't get to heal because I killed the person. Claw is the worst leadership you got, but he's probably the best model you got.
Yeah, but with the supporting task, like, I really think you can play Claw. I mean, there are people who are doing it and being quasi-successful doing it, but you really need to tweak that list. And I'm not sure you play Claw with a bunch of garbage and make it work.
I think you probably take Claw, throw in one of your expensive models if you can, throw in a rogue agent, and, you know, just try and get affiliated.
Throw in a rogue agent that I don't have.
I thought he gave you Bucky, did he not?
No.
No, you have Taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
But he's also in Criminals, right? So
I know. Yeah, so you're not using rogue agent, but like it's just a good model, right?
But at the minimum, we're starting off with Claw, Taskmaster, Mysterio, and we're 11 points in. Probably not what I need to be doing with a Claw list. We'll see. Yeah, I'll make one list for each of these.
The one Claw piece that you have to be a little bit cheeky is you can do the Claw with Elektra. Like, that's funny, I guess, because you can.
Oh, you killed my grunts. Yeah,
that's. But again, that does not make a winning like play.
Yeah, I think I'd do Claw, Green Goblin, Taskmaster, and then just go Blaster City and just like take a bunch of people that shoot.
Or even let's say Claw, Elektra, Goblin.
I mean, you can.
Gwenpool. We'll see what I pick. But anyway, I just wanted to have a lot of people do tier lists, like who are the best in the game. I thought it'd be interesting to say who are the worst in the game, and then make it more of an interesting, I'm going to make a list out of this, as opposed to just debating the worst models in the game.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to play games with my list. It's going to be great.
I can't wait either.
Aaron's not going to follow through on this. He's like, fuck, this looks terrible.
Whatever. I will absolutely play this for... I'll play it till I get bored. How about that?
Committed to play 3 games.
How long it takes.
He's going to concede in round 1. He's like, I'm bored. Alrighty. So Adepticon is coming up. Do we have anything we want to predict about Adepticon? With it being primarily timelines now, I don't know if what we're really expecting.
Yeah, it's the Wild West.
Primarily timelines.
Is it not primarily timelines?
No.
What is it?
Adepticon has one... whatever you want to call it, individual premier tournament. And then it has timelines. Thursday. Yeah, so Thursday, Friday is the individual. Friday's, or Saturday, Sunday's timelines.
Gotcha.
And then top cuts for each are on the second day. And so there's an alt event on that second day. Team tournament on Friday, and I think affiliation battle on Sunday. Cool. So I don't care to make any timelines predictions. I have not been playing, practicing, or theory crafting anything regarding timelines, but I will predict... Hellfire wins the regular tournament.
Ooh.
I know.
Man, you stole mine. I mean,
Hellfire, really?
Aaron thinks Hellfire is the best.
They're so stupid.
I mean, I'm basically not... just webs with staying power is just the list.
I guess the only thing that makes me
runaway shit.
And I think I mentioned this, you know, a couple casts ago. Is it really just that CGR left? Because CGR, I don't know if CGR was keeping those in check so much as people were actually gravitating towards them to beat CGR. So,
yeah, you're correct.
So is it just people, are you just banking on really strong players having practiced this a whole bunch are going to be playing it and that's why it'll win? Or it's actually
the best? He thinks it's the best.
Both.
Okay.
So it's kind of one of those like evolution through necessity things. It's like, because we were put in adverse situations, people came up with ways to beat like what is considered to be a daunting foe. But now that daunting foe is gone, it's now easier for them to prey on the weaker foes remaining. That happens in sports a lot, where like someone innovates in a really interesting way, and then that forces everyone to adapt. And then they find that once they've adapted to that, they're actually better than they were before.
Mm-hmm. What are y'all's predictions?
Like I said, I think Hellfire Club is going to win it, but I will be contrary and say, for shits and giggles, Webs could win it as well.
Well, I was going to say Webs, but it was not like my heart wasn't in it because I don't actually think they're going to win. I would just like to see Webs win. So I'm going to say, I think defenders are going to win.
I was about to say, there's going to be a lot. I feel like there's going to be a lot of defenders there. I think LVO is going to repeat itself. We're going to see a lot of defenders.
I would not be shocked if defenders won.
Ooh, wait, I'm changing my opinion. Parker, do you want to take defenders?
No, but go ahead.
Okay. I want to do X-Force. I think X-Force is going to win. Mm. I think a surprise X-Force list will be there. Not that surprise. I expect X-Force to appear.
I think X-Force will do well. Good. I would be a little surprised if they won.
Yeah. I think I'm doing with a Dark Horse pick. I know.
Okay.
One of the things that stops me from thinking Defenders is going to win, or rather Defenders is going to take it, is because I think that list is specifically good into things like CGR. I think it is really good into that. And without that list there, I think it's going to lose a few key games and not be able to go the distance, specifically against something like Hellfire. I think Hellfire preys on Defenders pretty hard. I think people will still play it, but I don't know if it's going to do very well. I'm actually going to go with my Dark Horse is the one I actually would like to see win, because I want that. It's Wakanda. I would like to see somebody who...
Not a Dark Horse, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's rank 3, right? It's the Chiefs of this playoffs, right? It's the one that everybody goes, yeah, they could always win, but everybody's thinking Hellfire, Web Warriors. Wakanda's there, I guess. Dark Horse
top 10%. I think
some people would put Wakanda and Hellfire in the same tier, and Web's below.
Yeah. I think mm-hmm. Wakanda is widely considered one of the power factions.
Oh, I just never see them show up in these big events. Like, they're not... The numbers aren't there, I guess, to support that. I would expect the frequency to be higher, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think you can really take the population of a specific faction for Marvel as, like, gospel or anything, or, like, actual true evidence, just because... I think because the theme of this game is so integral to the way people play it, like, people are so attached to the IP, I think it really skews the numbers, because very rarely do we get, like, a national tournament where there's enough people at one spot to really get a census. And so I think a lot of these miniature or medium-sized cons give us false data because of that. And so I think because you don't see things a lot, you'll think that they're not popular when they're actually extremely popular.
Well, I was talking about LVO. Like, there weren't a lot of Wakandans in LVO.
Yeah, but that was before the big change, right?
Right.
Like, that was Wakanda into CGR heavy, and that's a different game.
So we think we all agree more Wakandans will show up at this tournament because they're better into Hellfire and Web Warriors? I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, I think now Wakanda is like the tempo list, and it used to be CGR was the tempo list. And so now they're not being outdone in their own category.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just say Wakanda and take back my Dark Horse comment and just say third place will win, or second-ish place will win, and say Wakanda.
Okay.
I think if Wakanda doesn't win, it'll because of what Aaron's banking on, which is low frequency and low number of superb players reaching for them. Hmm.
There's also going to be a higher amount of people there playing Wakanda because the Rivals box just dropped recently.
Mm-hmm. It might.
I think it'll get people excited. Kind of like at Weapon X. Weapon X was everywhere for 3 months and then it's gone. Like, completely vanished. Cool. All right, so Jeremy went with Webs. Aaron went with Hellfire Club. Parker's got Wakanda, and I took X-Force.
Give me...
I just realized what happened here.
Give me 200...
You guys...
Give me 200 episodes on mine. I want to bet 200 episodes.
On Wakanda?
Episodes. Would you take that bet? 200
yeah,
episodes?
Yeah, I'll take that bet. That's... Okay. I mean, somebody would say that there should be odds on this. And so I'll give you Parker 200... versus Brandon 300, so I'm going to reward you with 300 on a win. Wakanda wins LVO.
I would like to also put. Adepticon. I would like to also put 100 of Parker's episodes on Web Warriors.
All right, so Jeremy for 100 on versus Brandon for. We'll just do this one straight up, and then cool. Webs win Adepticon.
Okay, what the hell just happened?
Okay, so Jeremy just bet 100 of your episodes straight up that Webs would win. So if he's wrong, you'll gain 100 episodes. But if he's right, you'll lose 100.
Yeah.
Aaron, do you want to make a bet?
Yes. I bet the winner of LVO, sorry, LVO, the...
you did it too.
I bet the winner of the Timelines event will have a last name in the first 13 letters of the alphabet.
Okay, so Timeline...
I like this bet.
Timeline I like this winner. First 13, you said?
Yep.
The listeners need to know, Aaron has never been wrong on a bet.
That's true.
250 episodes.
250 episodes straight up.
Yep, straight up.
You're betting 250 of my episodes?
Yeah.
I don't know what you think the currency is here.
We're going to double or nothing. Same bet for the regular tournament.
Hold on.
Okay, so two.
So wait, remind me of your bet just now.
So this is ship for COC.
Ship it.
Yeah.
What is your bet? I just want to make sure I know what it is.
The winners of the two major tournaments will have a last name starting with A through L. I think it's L.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure if I won either of those two events, I would also win the episodes. Yeah. I just didn't want to lose the episodes if I
did. So that Aaron gets bonus episodes?
Yeah. I didn't want to lose episodes if I won.
By winning?
Yeah.
No. We're betting on the house here.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So for the juice on these, I'm going to charge you a 50 episode VIG. So it's going to be to win 200.
Okay.
Because or else it's just flipping a coin, really.
I like this. I think you're going to come out on top. I do.
Parker, these are interesting investments you've made.
I'm fine with all of them.
Good.
So, all right. So I'm gonna make a bet. So, Brandon's gonna bet against Brandon that we're gonna bet 200 of Parker's episodes straight up. That what can I bet on? Let's see. X-Force wins. COC. There we go.
Okay. Seems like a good round. Now, just to be fair. Listeners, now we know that my episodes really must be nothing because I can't because I can lose them if you guys lose bets with my money.
Do you want to bet against these bets? I can take bets against it.
No, that's not at all what I want. I want
Jeremy knows enough about betting at this point to know that's a bad idea.
I am perfectly fine with having some sort of metaphorical skin in this game and like. That's fun, but you guys putting skin in for me.
Do you actually understand that Aaron has never lost a bet ever?
I get it. I'm not upset with Aaron.
He's trying to help you.
I get it.
Are you saying that people can't bet for you?
No, I'm. I guess I'm just saying it defeats. It's starting to erode the purpose of the betting that other people can bet for me. But you know what? Let's go ahead and do it. Let's go let this ride. This time, I'm really curious to see the outcome of it. Let's do it.
I'm sure it can only go well. I know I'm going to be happy regardless.
My thing is, I guess what I just realized is, so if I win the bet for Wakanda winning, I lose net episodes, don't I?
You'll have to know after the day.
So what you're saying, because you bet Wakanda won, so you're saying if Wakanda wins, what happens?
Yeah, if Wakanda wins, don't I lose a net number of bets based upon what you guys just bet?
No. So if you, you'll go down 100.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
You better make that a larger bet on your end.
He got me. Guys, he got me.
See, that's the thing that makes no fucking sense. That if I win the bet, if I actually call it right, I still lose.
Yeah, that's why your bet didn't make any sense.
All right,
fine. Incorrect. I'll change it. So I'm going to say that a Brotherhood player wins Timelines. How about that? Is that better?
Someone with Brotherhoods as one of their three rosters?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even think that's a good bet.
I would take that with 3-1 odds.
Why would you do 3-1 odds?
I like that. I like that bet. Do it.
Straight up? All right.
Yeah. So now if Parlay Wakanda wins, I actually do net some. Is that what just happened?
Yeah, so there's only the one bet on the winner. Oh, sorry. Jeremy did bet the Webs. Yeah, sorry, you would have been down 200.
I did bet Webs, yeah.
All right, so let's see. What can we do with Jeremy's bet? Jeremy, you want to bet your own episodes?
Oh, no. Lord, no.
Yeah, God, no. We don't want to get into this situation.
Lord, no. I've seen what
Remember
that can do
everyone
to
at home. Please call 1-800-BETS-OFF when you have problems with gambling. This is really just a public service announcement of how horribly you could fuck up your life. Okay. All right. We'll just get rid of Jeremy's bet, I guess. Unless okay. you can. Are webs even playable in timelines?
Sure.
I'm going to say they probably are. They're Street Fighter guys.
They're Street Fighter yeah. guys.
They're on top of fire hydrants and shit or whatever.
All right, we'll do timelines. Okay. I moved that over to timelines, so it's not a double down.
So Jeremy's voting against, betting against me in timelines. Brandon's voting, betting with me in timelines. Okay.
You could win both of the timeline bets, though, because you have three factions.
So I have to switch to webs?
No. You don't have to change anything. Oh, because you're assuming you're going to win timelines? Is that what it
I'm
is?
I'm just saying, the best case scenario is that I win everything, right? I
didn't even consider you were saying that you're betting against me literally in the tournament.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
The arrogance.
he's saying literally he thinks I will lose, which is fine.
New bet. All right, I'm betting now.
But that means he's betting my money for me to lose, which makes no sense.
1,000 episodes. I'll tell you what, I'll give you 3,000. I'll give you 3-1 odds. Parker doesn't win. Timelines.
What?
I'm betting 1,000 episodes, you don't win timelines. So if you win, you lose 300,000 or 3,000 episodes come off your tab. If you win, think of the pressure. But if you don't win timelines, you lose 1,000 episodes.
Oh, Jesus. You mean gain.
You would gain. Yeah, you're losing the bet. Yeah,
okay, so that's what you just changed bet. Jeremy's bet to? Is that what just happened?
No, I added that on top
of it. Oh, Jesus.
Tell you what, I'll make it 500. I'll give you 6-1 odds.
Okay, that seems like a terribly
that's
long...
That's clearly better than your actual odds of winning. There's, what, 60 people in the tournament? It should be 60-1. But I'm giving you 6-1. I'm multiplying your odds by 10 because I believe in you.
Okay.
Right, Aaron?
Yes, Dad.
okay. This is going to be a good weekend. I can feel it. I actually hope this adds a level of stress to Parker trying to make decisions in the timelines. He's like, God damn it. I'm going to fucking the game. I'm going to lose 500 episodes.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
What?
Without like using this podcast to get the intricacies of betting like conversation started. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't 60-1 be better for me? Because it means that I could bet less and gain more.
That is correct.
So why are you giving me 6-1?
I'd rather better than the average person in timeline.
Okay, so you're saying you just have you actually have more faith in me than that.
Yeah.
Okay. You wouldn't take the larger bet, is what you're saying.
No. Like, I would never give somebody from Kansas City a fair chance at a tournament. I would always assume they have better than that.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take the compliment and the bet. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So, Adepticon, hopefully we'll see you guys there. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoy gambling and podcasts. This has been Brandon.
And Parker.
Jeremy.
And Aaron.
And you've just listened to Parker Loses Everything.
Again.
So what are we going to call this thing?
I got it. Okay. Incredible. New. Fantastic. Astonishing. Mighty. Original. Uncanny, sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down Infamous.
We are back.
So back.
Studious.
Studious.
So back for you.
Painting walls. I feel like in the Green Mile where he's like, walking the mile. Yeah, painting this fucking terrain.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're having fun.
No. I had fun the first time when I was like, cool, I'll get all this done. It'll be awesome. The second run
is pretty awesome.
Not great.
Not as awesome?
Nope.
Well, don't worry, Jeremy. The way things are going for you, you'll soon forget entirely that you painted it before, and it'll be like the first time all over again.
I would never. Yes, I would. I probably would.
Did you watch that video I sent you about clicking links?
No.
It's like when you Google Alzheimer's and all the links are purple. And you're like, oh no.
Yeah, I didn't
what do
see
I do
it.
Now?
When you say Alzheimer's, you're doing that on purpose so that we get like comments and stuff like they do on YouTube channels?
Have you, no. I know I mispronounced it. I did not do it on purpose. Oh, okay. I just misspoke.
I did not
know I went to say it. I was like, old-timer? What? Yeah. Then my brain was just like, Alzheimer's, go. Yeah.
Now, also, if you said like Alzheimer's, like you pronounced like the Z really hard. Like
Worcestershire sauce.
Well, yeah. I did not know this. I mean, probably this is very common knowledge for lots of people. But on YouTube channels, they will purposely mispronounce things. Because people will comment like crazy on it, and it gets a huge amount of engagement numbers. And
yeah, same thing when they give you that like throwaway comment. And it's like, do you agree with me? I'm just curious. And they're like, please comment to let me know. It's like they just want the interaction.
Right.
They don't give a shit.
I did not know the sneaky one about the pronunciation because people love to actually everybody.
Yeah. No, yeah, the internet is a complete scam at this point, unfortunately. Just stop. Like, I don't understand how people do it.
It's a complete scam at this point.
It's a complete scam. So like I don't understand when people like who falls for this stuff. It's like they watch a video online they send to me. It's like, oh my god, I can't believe this really happened. And I'm like, this is scripted. And they're like, well, how do you know it's scripted? It's like, do you sit in the bathroom and record yourself taking a shit? Like why would the person be recording this unless it's staged? And like maybe they were just recording. It's like, yeah, they set up a tripod, attached their phone to it, and started recording. And then their boyfriend came in and said something like this. Like, what are you talking about? How do you, if there is a camera and it's not obviously candid, it's clearly fake. And even if it's obviously candid, it's probably fake. Like,
yeah,
that's why the videos I watch are people getting hurt. Those are funny regardless if they're on purpose or not.
Dude, if you fall off a house, you're getting hurt.
Yeah, guy fell off a house. Like, that's not, like, no way scripting that shit.
anything that's taken with a Russian dash camera is immediately going to be, like, entertaining. Or at least, like, terrifying. It's going to make your butt.
I've never seen anyone fake charged by a bear before, but if they did that, dude, I'm in. Like, they win. They win the internet.
That's true.
Have you guys ever seen any of the footage from, this was, like, test footage from the guy who tried to make an Iron Man type suit for bear attacks?
God, no.
It was like the early 90s.
Bear suit. It's called the bear suit. I'm very aware of this.
Yeah, he just had some test footage of himself. He wanted to make an anti-bear suit, and he like colored it. Also, it's not just a bunch of duct tape and shit. It's it looks pretty and sophisticated, but he can barely move in it because it's like a
space. Yeah, he's like the Michelin Man. He's like he's just wrapped in every kind of protective thing you can think of. That's all like integrated.
And so some of the things they did to like simulate the bear's weight and strength is that they would just like hang. They would do like Ewok Village. You know the Ewoks.
Exactly. I was gonna say that. It's like Ewok Village. You like giant tree swings and hits him and knocks him 10 feet through the air. And he gets up. He's like, I'm fine. They hit him with a truck. They literally drive a pickup truck into him at 30 miles an hour and he just bounces off of it.
Yeah.
Tell me they let a bear attack him.
I don't think that's ever filmed. I haven't seen it.
I don't know if he ever actually went to that stage. I think he was just testing out.
Probably because he actually saw the bear and he was like, fuck this.
Yeah. Nope.
Did you guys see that recent video that came out of the guy being attacked by a black bear while mountain hiking?
No.
Oh my god. That's like, if you ever thought bears were scary, like, because we actually met a guy from Alaska. We were randomly talking about bears at the game store. And one guy I'm actually from Alaska, and, like, all the fear of bears is, like, super overblown. Like, they don't really mess with humans. They're not really, like, predators. Like, they're just scavengers. And I'm like, that guy's a fucking liar. You've been lied to, bro. I don't care where you're from. They'd, like, watch this video. So the guy's climbing up. He's, like, on a ridge. And a black bear comes chasing after him, which is very rare. Like, that's not a normal thing. I'm not saying black bears are aggressive, but they are animals, and they are strong as fuck.
Yeah.
And so the bear, like, just chasing him. And so the only thing you think of is he starts climbing the rock face, trying to get away from it. But obviously the bear can climb it, too. So he's basically, like, up on this, like, peak, trying to stay away from the bear. And he's got, like, a GoPro on his helmet. And the bear is, like, fucking grabbing a hold of him. He's, like, trying to kick it away. It is terrifying. Ugh. Like, just seeing a bear. And it's not even a big black bear. It's just a normal-ass black bear. It is one of the most terrifying things. It's like a shark attack. You're like, you don't even know what you could possibly do. Like, if the bear wants to kill you, it's going to kill you. Because the only thing you do is try and make it not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember during Shark Week when they used to show people actually dying?
No.
So
I never got to watch Shark Week.
well,
I've never had cable, so
it's maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, but they would show these horrifying videos of, like, you know, the family on a vacation yacht or something, and all of a sudden they're like, look over there, Bobby. And like, holy dying, fuck. Yeah. And then you watch like a kid get eaten, and everyone's just sitting there like, holy fuck, like blood in the water and everything. So they stopped all of that. It's so fucking weird now.
Does it like blur it out now, or they just stop showing?
They just don't show those anymore. Like, they don't show them. If they do, they just do reenactments. It's just like, oh, and then Bobby got eaten and the family, blah, blah, blah. Dude, they used to actually show that shit.
I don't care that you just mentioned it. That's one of my three. You can't have it.
Shark Week?
Yeah.
Shark Week's not a documentary.
You fucking kidding me? Of course it is.
What?
Look it up.
It's a docu-series, I guess? Or so I guess we're counting docu... Okay, it's whatever. I don't even care. That's like saying the PGA Tour is a documentary. It's just TV.
Oh my god.
I'm stretching a little bit, but...
I don't
they are documenting the golf tour. It's a documentary.
I mean, I guess they do show real footage and they talk about what happened. And I mean, honestly, it's fine.
I'm choosing the NFL 2023 season for the Chiefs as my documentary. The documentary of fucking greatness.
Oh my god. I hope...
There are football documentaries, and I will be shocked if you don't find at least one. It blows my mind that you didn't immediately go to them.
You're super quiet again.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, did you hit your button? Yeah.
How about now?
Yeah, you're a little loud now, but you're good.
Okay, I'll turn down a little. I hit my mic pickup value. I was being shocked if you do not pick a football documentary. Like, as soon as they said documentary, there are so many football documentaries.
There are so many football documentaries I want to watch, and I can't because I don't have any time.
Oh.
Like, there's so... I can't even watch the franchise. I'm at least naming the franchise.
There you go.
I'm doing that. But the ones I see, I don't remember what they were. I just remember that I watched a documentary about X. And I'm like, so I can't, like, quote it because I don't remember who made it or what company did it or, like, the... Hold on now. I got one.
Okay.
I got one.
Okay.
So we're up to two.
There you go. See, right, I think we could do
it. We're almost there.
I will actually do this real fast, and I'm not going to say this one. I'm not going to geek out so hard like I did with the trees, but I hate shark fearmongering specifically because I feel like so many people don't understand sharks, and so they see shit like Jaws or Shark Week, and they go, that's why we should obliterate all the sharks, fucking kill them. Like, they're such crazy dangerous animals. They're, you know, killing machines.
Anybody tells me they want to obliterate all sharks, I'll hand them a knife and tell them to get to it.
I'm okay with somebody fist fighting a shark. Like, if that's what they want to do.
Nuke the ocean. But that's the only way. Like, are you serious?
It's just not what they're doing. I don't like desensitizing anybody to, like, the
yeah, sharks are scary, but just like bears, like, you know, you can take steps to avoid danger.
Right.
Like, and I don't go to any salt water. I don't enter salt water. That's just something I do now.
And they're also there. People get attacked in places, and they're getting attacked, usually not eaten, because sharks don't like the taste of people for the same reason that you don't like the taste of everything that swims in the sea. They're very different tasting things, and they don't like people's taste. But they get attacked because they go into places that the sharks live, like, you know, aggressively territorial sharks. And that's when they get attacked. And people get really fucking pissed. They go, oh, man, these sharks are trying to kill me and eat me. No, they're not. You're walking through their home, their territory, right? You're swimming through it because you're an idiot and you don't understand what you're doing. And people blame the sharks and never take responsibility or culpability for it. And that's what ticks me off, is that so much of that shark paranoia stems from people just... Nobody would do that for hornets, right? If somebody walked through a hornet's nest and I got stung a bunch, no one would go, well, we got to get rid of every hornet because somebody might walk directly through a hornet's nest.
That's literally what I do. I don't know what you're talking about.
Destroy hornets.
But we don't go and destroy every single hornet's nest.
I do.
We just avoid the hornet's nest, right?
Yes. Parker, you're either going to love me or hate me.
Okay.
As if you don't already do one or the other. I was in Hawaii, I don't know, 2017, was that like 7 years ago? And I signed up for a free dive with sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Put on by an outfit whose main goal is to counter what you're talking about, the fear mongering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're about... trying to encourage the fear-mongering?
No.
Counter. Oh.
They're trying to say, this is how you are supposed to act when a shark is approaching you in the water, right? Like, they're not like Jaws, I'm going to grab you and kill you.
How many people got
bit? You should not just... No one, because the water was too choppy and I didn't get to go. So, I got my refund instead. But I'm going again.
That's really cool, because you would be dead if you had gone.
No, I'm going again in a year and a half.
God damn it.
So, and I said I will only go to Hawaii if we are doing free diving with sharks. And right, my daughter was like, sign me up! So now there's a little confrontation. You're going
so we can do a farewell episode.
You won't need it. He'll be just fine.
Alternatively, you could go to Bear Island and experience the bears.
Oh God, that's a good one. That's one of my documentaries, actually.
There's a documentary of Bear Island.
And see, that's the thing. People equate those two. People think that's a false equivalency. It's a straight up false equivalency.
It's not. So, both of them are fucking man eaters.
No, they're not. They're not. Sharks don't eat men. They don't do it. They attack people that go into their territory if they do it stupidly and persistently. And if you dunk yourself in the middle of the desert, which is functionally what the center of the ocean is, and sharks sense you, and they're starving, because that's what a lot of sharks do in the middle of the ocean, because they're crossing huge expanses, they might try to eat anything, including a person. But they're not man-eaters. They're not. There are places on planet Earth that you can go to where the predators there are designed to eat people. You shouldn't hang out with wolves. You shouldn't hang out with bears. You shouldn't hang out with hippos. Those animals will hurt people. They've been doing it for millions of years. But sharks are not designed, nor equipped, nor interested in devouring people for their primary sustenance. It's not what they do. And
that's
so,
not my understanding.
I'm pretty sure they're equipped. Maybe not designed.
They have the ability to do it in the same way that you can technically, you know, also kill a bear with your teeth. Like, you could do it. It's just not very useful. It's not very helpful. And you wouldn't want to while you're doing it. It would be hard. Sharks are, they're completely designed for their own environment, and humans are not part of that. So there's no reason why there's no reason why anyone should be scared of sharks. And I think it's really strange that people are terrified of sharks, and therefore the villainization of them allows people to penalize them for existing just because they're a predator species. That it's okay that you kill them for their fins and you leave them in the bottom of the ocean. It's terrible. And so that I'll get off my soapbox. I said it was going to be short, but then I got into it.
I still don't understand what your point is. You're just trying to spread misinformation about sharks. He didn't bite. He knew it.
See, good pun. Good pun. Didn't bite.
So you actually are like upset that people make villains out of sharks?
Yes. It really ticks me off. Yeah.
So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. What have sharks ever done for you that you're putting this out there for them?
Oh, they're incredibly keystone species across the ocean. Like, it's really, really important to have sharks in the ocean. It's very, very important. It will completely destabilize the ocean's ecosystem if you remove the top predator species like we do constantly.
Hey, Parker, I've heard that like destabilizing the ocean would be bad for like the world.
Yes, it's bad for everything. It's 70% of it, actually. Okay. Yeah, it's a really, really bad idea. And it's weird that sharks get this kind of attention, and I get why. They're unnerving. They're alien. So many things about them are not normal. They don't appear like other fish. They don't act like other fish. They don't do things. They look like a nightmare creature, and so it's really easy to demonize them. But it's just a gross misunderstanding perpetuated by a couple key moments in pop culture that it's, you know, attempted to take over and use that fear that we have, that unnatural ability that they, the mystique that they have, you know, the thalassophobia, the fear of, you know, not being able to see the bottom of water. Like, it's just taking advantage of all those things that people carry around with them and, you know, weaponizing it to make some money. But even folks that have done it now regret it because they realize their part in this sad game against a creature that's totally, totally capable of just living there and being there. And in fact, humans, if they really want to, can enjoy their space with them. You don't have to remove the sharks to enjoy the ocean. It's not something you have to do, but.
I'm choosing The Meg as my documentary.
Yeah. Deep Blue Sea's mine.
eyes like doll's eyes.
Black. Can I pick dead. Sharknado?
Fuck yes.
Sharknado.
Oh, if you pick Sharknado, I get, what is it, like Anaconda? What the fuck? It's Barraconda or something. It's like Barracuda.
Barraconda.
There's so many of those good documentaries.
My documentary is titled Devils of the Deep. I don't know if it's related to anything we're talking about, though.
Devils of the Deep. Oh, no. One of them was called Whale Wolf. It was half whale, half wolf.
Whale yes. Wolf?
Yeah, Whale Wolf.
Really?
I swear to God, that's a movie. Check it. Check out Whale Wolf.
I'm not going to do that.
It's my documentary pick. You got to check me. You know how I'll do.
I'm just going to veto it regardless. What's wrong with that?
Not on my week, you're not. It's Shark Week, but for me.
Are you just excited that you won?
Dude, you don't even know.
I haven't actually checked. All right, so let's see. Let's all unvote for Jeremy and then simultaneously vote for who's number four. Parker. Let's all go vote for Parker. That way he can tie Jeremy. And,
come on.
And then we can pick a new one.
If you don't think, Nigel's going to freak the fuck out over this topic, you are wrong, sir. First off, we're going to be wrong. We will have missed all the good ones.
All right, I managed to drum up a third one, but it's not good.
I believed in you.
You shouldn't have. You're going to really regret that statement. I just Googled, you know, fear-mongering shark documentaries. Oh, God. I just picked the top one.
Fear-mongering, that's funny.
Yeah. It seems that this is really getting people frothy, so I picked it.
I want you to know, Aaron, for the record, this makes me like you all the more. The fact that you want to do
like
this.
Sharks?
No, yeah, the fact that he's like putting his money where his mouth is. I would also do that. I haven't got the opportunity yet to do that, but I would also do that.
All my friends want to commit suicide by going to hang out with sharks.
I have only swam with very small sharks, like sand sharks, which are really little bitty guys.
Yeah, they're like barely even dangerous. It's not even really a thrill.
It's just...
Step one. Get a submarine. That always works.
I'm telling you, man, Bear Island's where it's at. Oh, is Roar considered a documentary? I've never seen it.
That is not considered a documentary. You could choose that. Yes, you are correct.
It's just the most dangerous movie. Oh, it is a documentary. All right, I'm going to choose Roar. Is that good?
Dude, I have no
have
idea what that is.
Have you seen it?
No.
Then no.
I think it's okay. Are you guys aware of what Roar is?
No.
So Roar is a movie from 1981 that is a documentary about lions.
Okay. Is it about the man-eaters of...
Yes, the most dangerous movie ever made, Roar. But the point of the movie was the people in charge of it were super pro-animal and anti-cruelty to animals. So they used nothing on the filming that could in any way, shape, or form affect the animals negatively, including scaring them. And so they basically just got jeeps and a bunch of cameras and drove around the African wilderness trying to film lions. And turns out they don't like it when you get really close to them. And so it was something like an obscene number of people were injured and killed while filming the movie. Because they didn't use any kind of protective gear or like defensive tactics against the lions. And they just kept getting attacked.
Hmm. Well, I mean, that one sounds great, but you have not seen it.
Over 70 people were injured in their 140-person crew.
Wow.
Over the 2 years of direct filming, there was over 48 injuries. Okay, 70 is wrong. Oh, no, it says 70 people were injured, but 48 injuries were documented during the 2 years of the start of filming. Okay.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You guys can just sign up to be in this movie instead of swimming with the sharks.
You see, you This is exactly the opposite of what I said before. Don't do that.
Why? Terrestrial... I thought the animals were our friends, Parker.
No, no. Many of them are man-eating things. They are totally capable and interested in eating people. But
so you're
sharks
saying
are
that my a person's fear of sharks is unfounded.
Yes.
However, their fear of lions and bears is very founded.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Man, luckily we figured this out before.
What about cougars?
I you know what? I'm going to go ahead and actually say cougars are probably, they're not exactly on the list. If you're a baby, then yeah, cougars on the list. Baby will eat you.
You saw that guy that got attacked by a cougar, right?
On his bicycle.
That guy got fucked up.
Yeah, I've seen people. Yeah, I mean, I've seen multiple things of people getting attacked by cougars. I don't think it's like. I guess I'd have to see the numbers of like how often cougars actually attack people for food. It's got to be.
I think that's like a coyote situation. Coyotes don't attack people, right? But I'm pretty sure cougars fucking attack people.
Do they do it for food though? Or are they doing it for territory, protecting things? I'm not sure.
I think you even have to wear, like, your hat that has eyeballs on it when you're fucking with cougars, because they'll attack you from the back.
I told you guys my wife grew up with a cougar, right?
Yeah.
No!
Oh, God.
Really? Her dad owned a cougar while she was growing up in Arkansas.
No shit!
It would travel everywhere with him, like, just hop up in the car. When it got bigger, then, like, he had it photographed, but the cougar had to assert its dominance by pouncing on, like, new people once. And then, like, sit on them for 30 seconds, then it would leave, and then I'd be their friend. But it never attacked anyone.
Where do you get one of these?
Where? They breed them.
Outside.
Outside. Exotic pets.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You can't keep them, like, city limits, but if you live in the middle of buck-fuck nowhere in Arkansas, you pretty much have whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, over the last 100 years in North America, there have been 127 documented cougar attacks, 27 of which were fatal. I'm pretty sure that dwarfs sharks, but...
Yeah.
By, like, probably at several factors, I would guess. Yeah. Because it's, like, less than one person a year dies to shark attacks, right?
It might be, like, upwards of five, but it's in the single digits.
Actually, well, then that would actually be more.
The problem with shark attacks is that many of them are not sharks trying to eat people, it's people bleeding out after their bit.
Yeah.
They don't.
You know, generally, the shark will leave you alone after it bites you.
Right.
The cougar, less so, I think. It's kind of the opposite. They accelerate once they bite you.
I'd like everyone to know that we are learned doctors. First off, don't try and. Don't even look it up.
Here, unprovoked shark bites. Is somewhere around it's the average from 2018 to 2022 was 63 incidents annually, 14 confirmed shark related fatalities this year.
Yeah,
10 of those are assigned as unprovoked. So four of them were provoked. What the fuck does that mean?
He came at the elbow.
People like coming up to him.
They probably say like people doing stupid shit in the water that attracted the sharks. Like maybe they were fishing and like chumming the water or something for something else, and then the shark showed up.
And then they hopped in.
So the cougar attacks were specifically in the U.S., but that means that's only 120. That's like 1.2 a year. You're saying sharks attack how many people a year?
It's in the world. Remember, that was the whole world.
Go ahead.
There in 2023.
I'm sure they missed some people that didn't have friends nearby.
Yeah, in 2023 there were 69 confirmed unprovoked cases, and there's around and right now there's about 63 incidents annually in the whole world.
So you're 60 times more likely to be attacked by a shark than a cougar.
If in the world on planet Earth.
I'm aware of that.
And they're also...
There's not a lot of cougars outside, the Americas, right?
And there aren't a lot of cougars, period. Like, the cougar population is much smaller than the shark population.
You don't know that. You haven't counted all the sharks.
There are a lot of fucking sharks.
How many sharks are there? Exactly.
Here we go.
First off, and also, like, look, for unprovoked shark attacks, what is that?
Don't they live in the water? Shark attacks?
Mm-hmm. Don't they fucking live in the water? Yeah. Like, no shark is coming to your house.
Wait, are you saying that those 69 people were attacked on land?
Fucking must have been.
So here's the crazy thing. It says there is, it's difficult to calculate the entire number of sharks in the planet Earth. However, They do know that there's probably 100 million sharks killed by people each year.
100 million?
Killed, yes.
100 million sharks are killed every year?
Yes. They're eaten as seafood in many areas, primarily in Asia and Australia.
100 million?
Sharks killed every year is the estimate. It says there could be astounding. Yeah, it says there could be still yet a billion or more sharks in all the oceans. It's difficult to know, of course, because there's just the ocean's so big and it's so.
I would have guessed there's like 300,000 sharks total. No. Like,
there's also now teeny, I'm definitely teeny not micro, going in the fucking there's like water. Little teeny sharks too. Like,
right, there are sharks the size of your pinky. Yeah, like there's
all of those. Like, I'm sure a chemical hits the water. And
you can
eat sardines. God damn. This should be a documentary.
Oh, I love this. U.S. leads the world again in number of unprovoked bites.
It's because of tourism.
Like, we go to places where they are.
We don't live there.
Yeah. People just go in. It says 7 of these are bull sharks. Those are one of the ones that are known because they're incredibly territorial. So people just get in the water where they live and they get hit or bitten. 5 bites by white sharks, 3 of which were fatal because when they bite you, they take big chunks and they don't eat you, but the chunks are difficult to deal with the injury while you're in the water.
All right, so you are 10 times more likely to be attacked by a shark than a bear.
That seems like a problem. I'd wear a shirt for that.
That's a problem. I feel like Parker works for the sharks. He's trying to get them
definitely
more food.
Corporate, yeah.
It's corporate shark employee.
It's like Boss Baby, but for sharks.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Parker, like if you took cougars, bears, and, like, I don't know, moose, like, they still don't attack as many people as sharks.
You sure you want to keep going on
this? This is just tearing him up inside.
I am really bothered by the demonization of sharks. It bothers me.
Well, it bothers us of how many people they've been murdering.
Yeah,
okay, Brandon, who do you think, again, I'm not obviously reading anything right now, but who do you think kills more people, or bears or moose?
Honestly, probably moose.
By a factor of at least 5, probably 20.
You think moose kill, what is it, hold on, 120 people a year?
Yeah, car wrecks, man.
That seems high. I know car wrecks are one, but there's just not that many moose.
It says more
and there's not that many cars where the moose are.
Okay, here's some knowledge for you. More people are killed by large herbivores than by predators. In North America, moose attack more people. Moose attack people. This is not like cars. Oh, moose attack more people than bears and mountain lions combined.
Yeah, but that's less than 10. That's like 8 people.
In the water, here's one for you. In the water, jellyfish cause more injuries than sharks.
I'm way more scared of jellyfish than sharks.
Yeah.
Those things are disturbing.
But partly because I know not to go in more than 3 feet of water. Like, I'm not a fucking idiot. I've seen Jaws. No, yeah, 100%. The thing I'm most scared of in the ocean is jellyfish. I know the odds of me being attacked by a giant squid are pretty low.
Okay. I've heard of this.
It's not zero.
Holy shit, I've heard of this, but I did not realize. You guys heard of swooping season in Australia?
No.
I have heard of this. So Australian magpies are a very common bird found throughout Australia. In September and October, their mating season, they become extremely vigilant in defending their nests and young, and will dive bomb and peck anything they perceive as a threat, including humans, because they love to nest in human population centers. So due to the sheer number of birds, simply walking down the street can result in multiple attacks. Just like in one walk. Mm-hmm. It's called swooping season, and people will wear helmets just to walk down the street and not get dive bombed. By the way, a magpie, I don't know if you knew this, they're a big fucking bird. Like, they are not small. And they will just attack you. Hmm. That's crazy.
Oh. Yeah. Alright, so what's the moose number? I'm curious.
I'm looking for moose.
Can you get some numbers on that moose? These numbers were all checked by Facts and Figures. It's pretty important.
Okay.
Okay, so counting deer and moose all like, what are they called?
Hornet.
Ungulates? Is that what they're called? Ungulates? That's what it is. I don't know how to pronounce that word, but It says, like deer and moose, kill approximately 440 people a year, causing 59,000 accidents and dealing about $10 billion in damage.
Sons of bitches.
I know. We should kill the moose.
I just kill animals.
Parker, you were right. Let's kill all the moose and all the deer. fuck the sharks. Sharks are number three. And
thank
then,
you.
And then under that, we've got not dangerous animals like bears.
Here's I bears love this. Really peaceful, if you think the moose is going to charge you, take cover or run away. Unlike bears, it is okay to run from a moose.
I'm still running from a bear. I'm going to tell you that.
The way you avoid a moose is you keep like serpentining through trees because the fuckers are like 8 feet wide. Mm.
I had to get training on how to not die to moose when I moved to Norway.
That makes sense. What was it? Was it fetal position?
It was find someone else and push them in its way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, moose are fucking enormous. People don't realize how big they are.
They're insane.
They're scary big. Like, people don't think there are animals that large that can move that fast.
Yeah, we went to the woods for a camp out in a treetop cabin. Like, you know, the cabin was built at, like, way the fuck up in the trees. And then kids wanted to go moose hunting, and by hunting I mean tracking the next day, because you could see all the tracks in the snow. So we did, and the whole time I'm like, we better not fucking find a moose.
And you were following its tracks?
Yep.
God, I hope we don't find a moose while actively following moose tracks.
You're yelling.
Hey, right. You do weird things for your kids. You do weird things for your kids, man.
This is an aggravated moose attack. This is what that is.
That is what that is.
Stop following me.
Yeah, we didn't find one until we were in the car on the way back.
Nice.
Also, here's another one I've forgotten. Don't fuck with kangaroos.
Yeah, kangaroos are really aggressive.
The
thing most people don't actually know about kangaroos is they'll commonly go into like small bodies of water, like ponds and small streams. They'll try to lure you in, so they'll like start shit with you and then get in the water because they're actually very adept at drowning other mammals. Mm. I'm like, fuck this. But that's Australia. Again, everything is trying to kill you in Australia, so it's fine. Okay, we actually better get started.
I was going to say, this has been awesome, but we probably need to do something about this.
I'll cut this into the main topic. Main topic, animal attacks.
It's
a preamble for spider foes coming out. Like, more spider foes coming. You have to be aware of the animal attacks. Cougar man. Shark boy. You would think Ursa Major would be scarier in the game, considering he's a bear. Again.
Please put in parentheses. Please put again in parentheses.
Okay. That was fun. Real quick, let's do Mojo, and we can get out of here. So, Mojo World this week, Jeremy decided that he hates us, so we're doing documentaries.
You made me do fucking internet fucking joke.
I said specifically, I understand it's not for everybody, but I really wanted to do that category because I felt very strongly about the content. But I appreciate you guys humoring me for that.
I believe we're on the list. I believe we should now just respect the winner, right? That's what I'm doing. Go for it.
Thank you. I don't get to go first.
Oh, I'm going first. Best documentaries. I am going to highlight exactly how old I am and how pasty my skin is, and pick Ken Burns' The Civil War.
Mm.
Ken Burns' Civil War.
Mm. The Civil War. Yes.
That seems important.
It is.
I don't think they would have figured out which one.
No, they wouldn't have.
But the really defines.
Absolutely. Don't disrespect the documentary. Have you guys not seen that one?
Mm-mm.
No.
It is a historical epic.
I can count on two hands and zero hands the number of documentaries I can remember who made.
So Ken Burns is famous for doing like old white man stuff. Like Civil War, so World War II.
He's like your Jesus.
Basically. Now, I don't know anything about Ken Burns. I don't think he's a bad person. Like, he might. I don't know anything about him, but he's probably done 50-ish documentaries, and we're talking like the Civil War is a 9-hour long documentary with like really high quality production value. It was all done on PBS he started in the 80s, and I think he still does it today.
First aired in September of 1990.
It is an amazing documentary if you are a history buff, which I am.
Cool. Alrighty. Next up is going to be me. I am selecting with my first pick The Franchise by 65 Tross Power Trap Productions. It is a all-access Chiefs Insider show that follows the team around and films basically everything and interviews players and gets behind-the-scenes stuff. And then over the few weeks, they will cut that together into episodes that air bi-weekly during the football season. But it's really interesting to go in. You get to meet people. You get to see what their routines are like. You get to meet the coaches. And you get to see stuff. It's... If you like, what's the name of that show? Hard Knocks. It's basically Hard Knocks, but it's specifically produced by the Chiefs. And so you get to like meet the players, see what life is like for the players and stuff. Being a huge Chiefs fan, I like it a lot. But really, it's just like incredibly motivational because you get these candid moments with like people, and it's really fun.
I like that one.
Yeah. Even if you're not a Chiefs fan, I would recommend checking it out. Like the series, the season finale just dropped today, which is March 14th. After the Super Bowl. And so I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but I've heard everyone saying it's really good. Next up, we got Parker.
I'm going to go with the OG, like, you know, make you stand up and look at it, nature documentary, Planet Earth.
That's a good one.
There was a time in which there wasn't drones in 2007 when you had to do shit by hot air balloon and that's
helicopter.
They had to spend like years just staking out environments for certain creatures, and now there's a lot more technology to let us capture those creatures, and it can be done a little faster, which is why there's so many Planet Earth clones. But the original was special.
Cool. All right, Jeremy, you got two.
I got two. I'm going to go with, there's so many good ones, man. I can't believe you guys haven't seen like a ton of these.
I've actually seen a lot of documentaries. I just don't like remember them. Like, so like I couldn't tell you who made them or what the title of it was. Like, I just like, oh, that's cool. And it's just information I absorb, but like, I never pay attention to what it is.
The Last Dance, the, documentary about Michael Jordan. It's fucking unbelievable.
Okay. I've seen that.
Yep. And there's several I like. I have never been more engaged to a fucking documentary more than To Catch a Killer. That fucking thing was insane.
Okay. Yeah, I know people that watch that. I think I've seen one or two episodes of that.
Yep.
I've only seen the Always Sunny version of it, which is by far the best version.
Making a Murderer.
For sure.
It's so good. Framing Dennis for murder. It's so fucking good. All right, Parker, your second pick.
My second pick is actually going to be another nature documentary, but it blew my mind. It's a brand new one with tons of new tech, and that's Apple TV's Prehistoric Planet.
You've said that one before. I have to see that.
Yeah, I got Apple TV so I could watch this, and I binged it in like, what is it, five or six-ish hours. It was amazing. It was all my dreams of my youth, back when the terrible, terrible CGI of the 90s and even 2000s. But this Prehistoric Planet, they basically tried to do Planet Earth with prehistory, and they nailed it.
Cool. Alrighty, my second pick coming in hot. I'm gonna go with The Amazing Jonathan.
Dude, it was so good. I love that one.
I forgot I'd seen this until it randomly popped into my head when we were pre-rambling. I was like, oh, wait, I remember one. Mm-hmm. It is, so anyone who knows The Amazing Jonathan, he is a comedy magician who is famous for, like, dark humor and just ridiculous stuff. And so, like, he does shit where it's, like, in one of his shows, he walks out on stage in Las Vegas and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce my assistant today, David Copperfield, and he gestures into like the second balcony, and so the camera's lights all sweep up to where he's pointing. Nobody's fucking there. He's like, fuck you people, you came here to see me. It's just like, it's fucking great. He's such an interesting, fun guy to watch. But the documentary follows, he finds out that he's terminally ill, so he hires a camera crew to follow him around and record like the last days of his life. It's really dark and heavy. But he's also like, he's a comedian, so like he's very like dark side of comedy about it. And then after like a year of the guy following him around, there's all these like clues being left around that like he's not actually sick.
It's, and they're just weird, faking, man. It.
And so it's like the whole time the guy making the documentary is like, are you actually dying? Like, he has to ask him point blank on camera, like, are you dying? And he's like, I don't think it's really fair if you ask me that. It's just like, did I just waste the year of my life? And then he's like, then another documentary crew gets hired to film the same thing. And so he's like competing with another documentary crew. And this is the documentary. It's from this guy's point of view. It's insane. It's so crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely worth a watch just for like the psychological warfare that happened. Mm-hmm. All right. Aaron's final pick. Oh, wait. No, you got two. You got two, buddy.
Parker clearly stole mine, but we're going to go with the secondary spinoff, Blue Planet. And then follow that up with Shark Week.
Everyone knows that last one.
They should, because it's amazing.
At this point, if you're hearing this, you've already heard about Shark Week, so don't worry.
True enough.
I can't wait for Bear Month. It's going to be great. All right. Final pick for me, I'm going to go with, I've talked about another one a bunch of times on here, so I'm not going to go with that one. I'm going to go with a new one I haven't talked about much, The King of Kong. Are you guys familiar with this one?
I actually have it pulled up. I was getting ready to say that one.
Yeah. Fucking so love it's a that documentary one. That follows a guy, I think it's in the mid to late 90s, and he basically has a King Kong arcade machine in his garage. And he videotapes himself playing it to try and beat the all-time high score. Then he sends in his tapes to, like, the Guinness or whoever, the gaming commission that records these records. And they don't recognize his tapes, even though he basically has broken the world record for highest score in Donkey Kong. And so he has to fly out to their, like, annual convention where they had people try and break the record. And he competes there, and it's just an interesting thing into the look of the world of like competitive arcade gaming, and it's a really cool show. Anyway, that's it. Last pick for Parker, and it better have the fucking word planet in it.
It doesn't. It's so funny you should mention that. It's not doesn't have the word planet in it, but it is about planets.
Nope, you have to pick a different one. It has to have planet.
I'm going to do
Planet, the Planet of the Apes.
It's called Time Lapse of the Future, and this one is actually available on YouTube, of all things, but it was created by something called Melody Sheep, which is kind of like a sound mixing thing, but they love to take interesting topics and mix sounds for it, so it's kind of a compilation of one of the primary theories we know about what, like, heat death at the end of the universe, and it takes... it just basically just goes deep, 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 deep future with these really cool visuals and sounds that they kind of mix and create themselves. And it's just really, really fascinating. It's only like 27 minutes long, but it does a really good job of visually and auditorily kind of showcasing the end of the universe or one of the primary theories we have for the end of the universe. It's really cool. It goes deep, 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 insane deep future.
Mm.
Really cool.
Alrighty, final pick for Jeremy.
I can't tell you how happy I am that you picked King of Kong. Then I can do this next one that I really wanted.
Yeah.
Grizzly Man. Have you seen it?
Grizzly Man? No.
Yeah, Grizzly Man. Oh, it's
famous. Sounds like some kind of bear man.
Shit. First off, it's directed by Werner Herzog. So his voice is throughout the whole thing. That is amazing. Let me give you a quick rundown of what this says. And you imagine in your head how this goes. A devoted conservationist with a passion for adventure, Timothy believes has bridged the gap between human and beast when one of the bears he loved and protected tragically turns on him. I'll just stop there, dot, dot, dot.
Really?
I shit you not. At the end of it, you just are dumbfounded and like, what the fuck? Dude.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And
the scene, I have only seen the scene with the fox. And I fucking rolled laughing that scene with the fox. You know what I'm talking about?
I have to watch this one.
There's a fox that comes to his camp. He's like, "Hello, Mr. Fox. Are you my friend, Mr. Fox?" He like gives him like kind of personifications, and he calls, gives him all the names and stuff. He says, "What a brilliant friend you are." And the fox is like really close. He's like, "Oh, are you going to be my friend? Are you going to be my new companion?" And the fox gets just close enough to take like some of his food and bolts. He goes, "You motherfucker, get back here, you little shit!" And he just like starts cursing at him, and just like all pretense of like his persona. persona like falls mm-hmm. away instantly as he's gotten like his meager amount of food taken from him by this fox, and he just screams bloody murder at it. Like that's the
curse your sudden and inevitable.
Yeah, he fucking hates. Like he.
That's funny.
That's the whole point of the film, right? Is he has this pretense of being one with nature all the time, but he has no idea what he's doing. And
he has no idea what he's doing. He is an actor / activist. He has no experience with anything. He thinks that the bears like are his friends,
but really they just haven't worked up the hunger to eat him yet.
I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, he is not with us anymore. Yeah. Like, and it's a part of the documentary.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's fucking.
It's
crazy.
A part of the documentary.
It is.
He dies on camera.
Oh, it is clear what happens to this guy.
It's like Blair Witch, but with bears.
Yeah,
it's
Bear Witch.
What's weird is that you're supposed to like. I think it's a really dark film, but I laughed.
Yeah, because you don't know what's going to happen.
Like, no, you don't know what's going to happen.
I'll put it on the list. Where's my list? Note list.
If you have a dark sense of humor, you'll love the film. If you don't have a dark sense of humor, you might like really despise it.
And it turns out,
really like dark stuff.
Yeah. And the thing is he travels to this island, and they call it Grizzly Island, where there's paths in this bramble and stuff that's all thick.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my god.
Damn it! Where's my movie list?
But yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, here we go. All right. Aaron, this is going to have to go just above Dog Skull Movie on my watch list, just so you're aware. All right.
I have one honorable mention. I decided not to do it because the ending was very, very not, like, satisfying, but Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that was a documentary. I just knew it. I know the story.
Yeah. It does have a documentary on Netflix. It was a great documentary, and the ending was so dissatisfying, it made me really upset. I was like, what?
Oh, okay.
But, so I couldn't do it because I feel like...
Was it one of those where it's like, the story's not over yet, so we'll, like, make another one when it gets resolved?
No, the story is... The story is No, it's the story is quite over. Mm-hmm. It's just not satisfying at all. You're just like...
Yeah.
There's no there's no pathos, right? Nothing pays
off. Andre the Giant documentary, very good.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I like Andre. The one I've mentioned before, I highly recommend again. It's I think it's The Perfect Bid is what it's called, but it's about The Price is Right.
Yes, that's really
good. It's a fun one.
Yeah,
it's The Perfect really Bid good, is good. And you think it's going to be stupid as fuck. It's actually really interesting.
Yeah.
And basically what happens when one person completely resolves to do something. It's one of those things, like, it's like you hear about these people. It's like, just set your mind to it. You can do anything. Like, this guy, his... And you think it's like, this is just random chance stuff. He's like, he wanted to win Price is Right. Like, something stupid like that. Like, it's like, oh, I want to go on Jeopardy and win. It's like, good luck ever getting selected or whatever. It's like, this guy put his mind to it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And he won. He won in the most perfect way you could ever win. Mm-hmm. Where you get to the end, he's like, I'm going to guess the showcase to the dollar correct and win both showcases. Mm-hmm. And you're like... Wait, okay, that's actually like not possible. And you're like, no, I'm gonna do it. And he fucking like, you gotta watch it. It's crazy. There's also a lot of like what do you call it, controversy with the thing, because like they think he's cheating because he's so good,
right? Like, it's just because they were reusing a lot of their data and he was just collecting it.
He had just collected the data, like, and one of the fun things he did was he got a video game. And one of the video games actually had a lot of their actual data in it because they wanted it to be like the show. And so he played the video game every day, because then he built his own software to just quiz him on every item they've ever shown in the show. He would just do like 30 of those a day, and he did it for 10 years. He knew by heart the exact dollar amount of everything on their fucking show. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah, it was really interesting. The whole story of like him trying to get on the show, and like he would like sit in the crowd and not get selected, and then he'd like yell, like he would find the person, like when somebody next to him got on stage, he'd be telling them how much money to tell people their like significant others the thing was. But yeah, it was fun. You should definitely watch it. But that's all I got. Although we could probably talk about more Adepticon stuff if Aaron wants to.
Good night.
Aaron's just turning his computer off.
Up to you.
Alrighty. Cool. Well, thanks for showing up, everybody. See you guys later.
Later.
Bye.